Oh, never, 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 never. No.
What the fuck's going on down there?
Seth Buzzard, I want to propose an idea to you that might sound crazy.
I want to hear your crazy idea.
What if we took our podcast that we usually record on Thursdays or Fridays, right?
Uh-huh.
What if we record it on a Sunday?
That's the day of rest.
But what if we did it? What if we bucked the trend?
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, well, I'm going to blow your mind. We are actually recording this on a Sunday night.
Oh, this is Sunday already?
Yep. The weekend's over. Look forward to Monday morning in about 8 hours.
Ugh, it'll work tomorrow. This is the worst.
Yep, me too. This is... Man. Well, I've been sick for the last couple days, and it was the kind of sick that wrecked primarily my ability to talk at length, which is a great way to screw up a podcast. So Seth kindly suggested we record on the weekend, and we figured out that Sunday worked for both of us. So here we are.
Yay. Hey, and tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Do you have all your green clothing set aside for tomorrow?
I don't have green clothing, but I am going to thematically make some French fries out of potatoes with my ActiFry.
Racist, man.
I thought it was on topic.
There's more to Irish people than potatoes, man.
I saw a video. I forgot what it was about. It was something about an Irish phrase book, and then there was this guy who kept going, potato!
All right.
That's the basis of why I'm going to make French fries tomorrow. So, St. Patrick's Day is on the horizon, but we're here with WTF and TFW episode 295 to talk a little Transformers. Seth, Buzzard, our first topic, I put in the topic list as topical Transformers content, and you clicked it without looking at what the link said. What was your first reaction?
This is... What's going on here?
So,
why are we going to be? Are there? Well, first I was like, okay, this is weird. Then I was like, well, surely if I keep clicking through these pictures, I'm going to find like toys or something or some on set photos. Nope, this is all that it is. Cool.
So I put up, because this was on the top of the front page when I made the topic list today, official images of Transformers 4 Age of Extinction Halloween costumes by Disguise. I put this up mainly for two reasons. Number one, our front page picture is a costume that is a tank top.
Yeah, that's not a costume.
That was the first thing. The Optimus Prime bustier, to be specific.
Who is going to wear that?
Someone who really likes Optimus Prime, but really doesn't like costumes.
But, like, I mean, there's the whole Halloween costume, like the sexy girl costume thing. That's becoming more and more ridiculous as the years go by.
Mm-hmm.
This is maybe the most ridiculous yet because it's just a tank top.
And the exhaust pipe sticking out the top of the tank top just look like two Optimus Prime hands cupping boobs.
Well, that makes it better. But yeah, but there's no mask. There's no lower part to the costume.
Nope.
It's just this weird-ass tank top.
Yep.
And... Yeah, like, I would... The only place I would expect to see something like that is, like, on some sort of white trashy lady at a NASCAR event. Because it's like, I'm going to wear my weird truck tank top thing. My robot truck tank top thing. I don't know.
It's got flames on it.
So that's, like, the only female costume in here, isn't it?
Well, the other one that I wanted to point out, I guess could work as a unisex costume. Really, any of these probably could, but this is the other one that really caught my eye.
Well, all the other pictures are either adult males or male children.
Oh, yeah, in the pictures, it's only male models, yeah.
Yeah.
But the one that really caught me here, and this actually got its own paragraph in the news item, was Disguise has also carried their trademarked Skinnovations brand to the new movie by producing Optimus Prime and Bumblebee skin suits.
Yeah, these are the weirdest.
So these are basically Zentai suits printed to look like Optimus Prime and Bumblebee. The Optimus Prime one in particular is the weirdest looking thing that I've ever seen.
He's totally striking like a Power Ranger pose too.
Yes. And the Optimus Prime face kind of tops it off, this dead stare, as he's got one fist up and he's all bow-legged. And I am looking at this and just knowing that at some convention, TFCon or BotCon or somewhere else, someone is going to go up to ask a question of a voice actor wearing nothing but this skin suit.
Don't give him ideas.
No, I'm saying it because as long as I say it, right, at least then when it happens, I can try to say at least I'm the one who came up with it, take some credit when the YouTube videos go up, get some of that revenue in there.
Yeah, I think the Bumblebee one is even weirder looking.
With the mouth? Yeah.
Yeah, with the mouth, with at least with the Prime one, like the... Well, no, never mind. I was going to say the pattern goes below the waist, but nope. It doesn't on the Prime one either. Yeah. And they're both weird. If someone was like, what's the weirder one? I think the Bumblebee one's weirder.
I think the Prime one sticks out to me more because like from the waist down, it's just like shiny blue.
Yeah.
Like the Bumblebee one is matte black. That can hide some stuff. The Optimus Prime one, shiny bright blue. You ain't hiding nothing.
Whatever his pose is way more Power Ranger.
Yeah. And it's skin suits, sure.
I don't know, man. It's so is that like the cool new thing now? Why?
The Zentai suits have been around for ages. I think, in fact, the twilight of the Zentai suit is already past us. Actually, I'm surprised this is still a thing. I think they're because the Zentai suit, for people who at this point are still going like, "What are you talking about?" is basically like a skin tight suit that is a body sock, like straight up head to toe. Body sock, you have no features. Has some really interesting uses in green screen and actually in onstage puppetry too. But then there are the pattern ones, which just look crazy weird. They look really odd. But I don't know if they're really a big thing right now. I just know that a couple years ago they had a big internet spike, and that's how I learned the phrase Zentai suit. But that's really all I wanted to talk about here.
I thought you were mispronouncing Sentai.
No, at first I thought people were writing Sentai wrong. And then I looked around and was like, no, they're just referred to as Zentai suits. And they do make a lot of Sentai-themed Zentai suits. So you can be a Power Ranger in a body sock.
Yeah, and the rest of them are more what you expect.
Yeah, helmets, fake muscles.
Yeah, you know, robots, fake muscles.
Yeah.
But, like, this Prime one has, like, it looks like armor, chest pieces. This Bumblebee one does, too. Like, so some of them look more elaborate with, like, what I'm assuming are plastic parts.
Yeah, they're trying to do stuff. And somehow I found those less interesting to talk about, because that's kind of just the stuff we see every year.
There's a sword, there's a blaster, there's a shield, a couple shields.
That's the Sword of Judgment, as it's called. There's also a shield that looks like it's made out of a wheel, like a tireless wheel, shaped like a star. Seems like that might be what Bumblebee uses as a weapon, or his hubcaps.
Yeah, I was going to say it does look like a tire rim hubcap kind of thing.
Yeah, so hey, we gleaned something out of this news topic. That's topical to the movie.
Yeah, when I was first clicking through, because like the watermark going all diagonal across kind of obscures the Autobot symbol in the middle, and I didn't catch the Autobot symbol at first, and then I was like, I wonder if that's a Decepticon thing, like maybe that's, because it's spiky, it's like a spiky star kind of shape.
Yeah.
I wonder if that might be like associated with lockdown or something, and then I went back and noticed the Autobot symbol. I'm like, nope, never mind.
Yeah.
Some of these costumes have lights, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's the one picture of the mid-rift of the Bumblebee, and it looks like there's rows of lights.
Well, that could be kind of cool.
Kind of.
Yeah, light-up costume bits. Anyway, I also thought this was funny because this is Transformers 4, these costume things are so uninteresting to a lot of people because we've already seen a lot of this stuff. Whereas with the Ninja Turtles film, this kind of costume leak stuff is the first way we've seen a lot of Ninja Turtles movie designs.
Well, there was that costume from last year that kind of giveaway drift.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right, you're right. So, the iPhone photo.
Yeah, it's just this batch of costumes is nothing.
Yeah.
It's just Prime and Bumblebee and, you know, it's Prime and Bumblebee.
Yay!
Because who else is it going to be?
Why would you dress up as anybody else? Everyone
I
else.
Don't know. I want a Mark Wahlberg costume personally, but...
Well, we can get you one of those from another website.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Mark Wahlberg Zentai suit.
That,
We should move on and talk about some new picture picks, in my opinion. Seth Buzzard, have you got a new picture you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, Unique Toys. They're doing something we've been talking about for a while.
Yeah!
They're doing Salmore. I don't get where that name came from. But
me neither.
It's not Psykill from the GoBots.
Yeah!
Don't claim that it is, because you'll be wrong.
Yeah, his name is Salmore.
So, I get a pre-order alert in my email from Big Bad Toy Store about 5 times a day.
Me too!
Because if you buy anything, then anything even remotely related to that, they're going to let you know about.
I kind of like the weird Kevin Bacon game they play to figure out a way to justify sending some of those. We noticed you bought a toy that was colored green.
I haven't had it that oblique before, but it's like, just because I showed interest in one Dragon Ball thing doesn't mean I need to know about every Dragon Ball thing.
Do you know there's a new Dragon Ball thing coming out?
Mm. And there's statues, too.
All right!
But anyway, so I look at this one, I'm like, that looks like Psykill. And then I was like, okay, I don't have, like, I was at work. I'm like, I don't have time to really think about this. I'm just going to jump in. I'm going to throw down a pre-order. I'll figure it out later. And then, you know, I haven't really had time to look in on it too much. But it does look like Psykill.
There's a lot of it I like, and there's a couple bits I'm not too sure about.
What are you not sure about?
Well, I know why they're mismatched, but I don't really care for the mismatched feet.
Oh.
One's white and one's black. Uh-huh. It's clearly from just the... Because one of them is the front bit with the light on it. The other part's like the back of the seat.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's clear why they're mismatched, but it still kind of bums me out. And also, I really want to know more about those big armored pieces over his wheels, whether those are separate or whether those are... Because it looks like his wheels are probably going to parts form onto his shoulders.
Uh-huh.
And I want to know if there's also going to be these big armored spiky chunks that I have to worry about as well to slap onto him. So
it would be nice if those spiky armor parts were optional.
Yeah.
So you could have a smoother wheel look to them.
Yeah.
But I went to the motorcycle image, and I'm not really seeing any obvious place where those could be stored away for vehicle mode.
Yeah. No, I'm sure that they're just a separate add-on bit. And otherwise, I love the way his head and his torso look. Like, those are super spot on.
Uh-huh.
I kind of wish his head looked even, like, there's something about the coloration on this version we're seeing that doesn't look quite like the cartoon, but it's super close.
Yeah. Yeah, the head is close. It looks a little small, also, to me. It looks a little pinheaded.
I almost wonder if that's... Because I got the same impression, but then I was looking at it, and I'm like, is that an optical illusion because his head just slopes upwards and is really, really simple?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I mean, it's stuff we... Like, and if these are early pictures, they're subject to change and all that, but... I mean, it's Psykill enough for me to still be interested.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to get, you know, a deluge of you know, off-brand Psykills anytime soon.
Well, so you never know. Like,
Yeah.
The one third party company starts doing something, and then everybody else goes, we gotta do that too.
But that's the thing. I'm looking at Cycle, and I don't see him as kicking off a fad.
I wish it would, though.
Me too. Me too. Like, there are a couple. I mean, what? There's the other version of Stacks and Crank and Stacks that's being done up to look like that one GoBot Road Ranger, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And then X Transbots is doing a Turbo. And then Unique Toys is doing Psykill. So there are three GoBots coming right now. Maybe it will kick off a trend. I don't know.
Well, I'd even like to see at least one other company take a shot at Psykill. Mm-hmm. Like, before this one ships. So if another company pops up and goes, hey, we got a Psykill too. And then I go, oh, that one looks better. Then I'll dump this one and get that one instead. Or stick with this one and not get the other. Because unlike Huffer, I don't feel like I need a whole bunch of third-party Psykills.
I think if it was, you know, if anyone else did Psykill, I might just end up doing that with Psykill and getting all the Psykills. Because I really like Psykill.
Uh-huh.
If anyone does a... I want to say if anyone does a really good Crasher, I'll be right there. Even though there is a decent, like, semi-Crasher out of the movie One Line that they did out of Classics Mirage.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a dedicated Crasher that's a bit more built and a bit less slim.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm like right now, you know, I'm in on this one. Unique Toys have been improving with every release, so I'm not worried about this thing feeling like it's going to break. The Sharkies felt really good. The one that I have feels really good. I've heard that Mania King is pretty good construction wise. So I got some hopes. I'm trying not to work them up too far. But this is a trend I want to see continue. More GoBots.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're only ever going to get so many G1 characters to do. And even though GoBots were not as popular, there's still, like for me, there's a nostalgia for those characters also.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been so little anything for those characters for so long. It seems to me it would be at least a market to explore. And then maybe like these three that are in the works will come out and everyone will look away in disgust. And then nobody will do any ever again. Or it could end up being really popular with the fans.
Yeah, I think that right now we're in a stage where a lot of the companies in that scene are probably, if they're interested at all, they're like dipping a toe in the water to see if there's any, like there's interest, but to see if there's any interest that can actually support the cutting of steel molds.
Yeah.
And I hope there is. Yeah. Because it is more stuff that is not the same, like, you know, the cast that are the G1 Transformers. It's very left field in another direction that I really enjoy.
Yeah, but I think where it has an advantage is that it's from the same era.
True, like, true.
There's still robots that turn to vehicles. They're still from the early 80s. So it's from that era. Like, there's a similar nostalgia. Like, even for kids like me, that skewed far more toward Transformers. I still had a bunch of GoBots.
Oh, yeah, I had piles. I had a bootleg
I still watched the cartoon, even though I liked the Transformer cartoon way more. I still watched the GoBots.
I love my bootleg of the GoBots Meet the Rock Lords.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that many a time.
Yeah, so I think there is a market for GoBot characters.
Yeah.
I guess we just have to wait and see how big that market is and if it is worth tapping into for these companies.
Yeah, I mean, the market is there. But yeah, it's a case of whether it can support what some of these companies' bottom lines are. And I hope it can pull it off. And I hope it turns out well. Because, you know, the worst thing would be if this gets a bunch of interest and then the toy just comes out really bad. Because then a lot of people's initial reaction, and possibly their only reaction, will be, well, that's what I get for supporting GoBots, and just walk away.
That won't be my reaction. My reaction will be, I am very disappointed that these guys screwed up the GoBot thing.
Yeah.
And possibly killed GoBots for everybody else.
Well, I'm just going by what I've seen sometimes out of the rabble voice. Like, the greater voice of the mass who buy this stuff is like, sometimes the mistake of a company gets attributed to an aesthetic to the point where someone else puts out something. They're like, well, the last one I bought wasn't any good. Because a lot of people just don't really want to take the time to figure out who all everyone is. So, easy example, someone does a new G1 RC, everyone goes like, well, I bought the last couple and they were crap. And you're like, yeah, those two companies had nothing to do with this one, but some people will just see G1 RC as a thing that they had a bad experience with.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't want some of our first forays into unofficial GoBot toys to be marred by poor production, so I hope they take their time. Apparently it's coming out in May, so I hope the turnaround works out okay on this.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out. If it comes out in May, we don't have to wait too long to find out.
Yeah, come May, it'll be like delayed till August, and I'll be like, not surprised.
No.
Especially if what we're seeing here is just a CAD model. Like, I know some of these guys have a pretty fast process, but sometimes you gotta slow down a little bit. Well, I want to bring up an unofficial picture for my own picture pick. Because this stems off some stuff we talked about last week with Microblaze's take on updating the Fall of Cybertron Bruticus. And we were talking last week, and I said a whole bunch of times over and over again, the only stuff on this set that's color-matched to any of the actual toys are a piece for Swindle and a piece for Brawl. And the retail Swindle and Brawl are yellow and green, and the SDCC Swindle and Brawl are like a gold tan yellow and a slightly different green, so surely the pieces could still work with them and it would just look a little bit off. Microblaze is just straight up going to do a second copy of those pieces color matched to the Platinum / San Diego Comic-Con versions of Swindle and Brawl, and they're going to pack them in for the first run of orders for their Microblaze military whatever thing. So if you order it now, you get $10 off and you get these extra bits to make him Platinum ready. So, I guess they and myself and everyone else were all thinking on the same wavelength. So this thing's coming out in June. I'm very interested to see how it turns out as far as build quality goes and everything. This is another, well, at least for a company naming itself, this is their debut piece. I don't know if it's a company made up of people who've worked on other stuff before. But I'm hoping it turns out well because I did really like the video game Combaticon designs. And I'm really into the idea of just straight up replacing Onslaught with a bigger one. So I want to see how it turns out. Seth, did you take a look at the Microblaze stuff ever since they put out these color photos?
Yeah, I'm looking at them now. I think it looks kind of good. It really kind of fills it out. Like, it doesn't look so scrawny and skeletal as so many modern combiners tend to look. I don't know if I'm going to invest in it. I have the Comic-Con set. Mm-hmm. Never took it out of the box.
Yeah, well, and this is the second upgrade for Bruticus that's on the market. There's also the Boosticus set that Echo Transformers designed and X-Transbots produced, which doesn't have a new figure. It just kind of bulks out the existing five with a whole bunch of extra bits and pieces.
Yeah,
And it's a lot cheaper than this one. It's, I think, a full $50 cheaper.
Well, I mean, if it doesn't have a whole figure included, I would hope so.
Yeah, yeah. and that set is interesting because it's Echo Transformers has a thread on TFW basically that he made when he started designing the set. And he designed it to be a Shapeways set. He prototyped it with Lego and eventually it moved up to full plastic production. So that was a really interesting story to follow. This set takes a very different approach. And the other thing about this set that's very different is you see how nice Bruticus's arms look?
Yeah.
That's because a majority of the skeleton of, like, basically the skeleton of the arms transform into those two large guns that are sitting in front of either of Onslaught's feet in the picture showing all the stuff you get. So those two guns each are made up of an entire skeleton of an arm with the hand built into the gun. And then basically you pull Vortex in half at his waist and attach him to the skeleton. And similarly with Blastoff, you pull Blastoff into, I think, 5 pieces and kind of just build him over the arm. Which is a very interesting approach to solving the problem of this Bruticus' arms. The Boosticus set, as I understand it, makes the arms look nicer, but it doesn't really do much to add an elbow or a bicep to them.
Wrong!
So this one just foregoes it all by going like, hey, guess what? Here's an entire arm skeleton that you build the toy over. Which I would be bothered by a lot more if that skeleton of the arm didn't actually transform into something. And the fact that it transforms into a gun makes it actually... It flips my opinion on it from what are you doing to that is pretty clever. But it's also something that I think is not really represented in these photos at all.
Yeah.
So it's worth knowing if you're going in on this one. You got to be ready to pop some ball joints.
That's usually not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Ball joints are usually designed to pop to prevent breaking. So.
Yeah. And this set also has new feet for Brawl and new hands for Brawl. Because Brawl is a very flawed toy, in my opinion, the worst of the five.
Uh-huh.
So you just get straight up new feet and new hands to fix him as a standalone figure.
Yeah, like, I don't feel any need to get this, but I do think it makes it look pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm hoping it does all right. I think it's 110 right now, which is, you know, it's steep for some folks.
Yeah. But,
I really liked... As flawed as they were, I've said it many times, I really enjoyed the Bruticus toys just for the play pattern. So I kind of want to go all into any solution anyone makes for these guys to see how it works.
Well, and you got like 7 of them, right?
Yep. So I can get a Boosticus, put it on this one. I can get this one, put it on that one. You know, it's all good. Anyway, those are my new picture picks. Those are Seth's new picture picks. This is some other stuff I guess we could have talked about, but really it's stuff that we'll end up talking about along with a bunch of other things later on when we get more coverage. Like, yo, Masterpiece Bumblebee is going to have an Amazon exclusive piece, just like all the other Masterpieces have.
Japan has all the fun.
Yeah. And so I suspect Dr. Wu is just going to make like a 15-pack of like every expression Bumblebee could ever have.
And then like some faces that have nothing to do with anything.
Yep. One of the faces...
Why is this a Rekgar face? It doesn't make any sense.
Some of the faces will just be straight up like famous Hollywood actors.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Here's a Sylvester Stallone face for Bumblebee.
Oh. I'm into this.
Right? Right?
I'm into this.
If Dr. Wu doesn't, someone should. We have Shapeways for a reason.
They should make Bumblebee a face... That's the Bumblebee girl from the Blind Melon music video.
Yes! I'm into this. We should start a third party if no one else does it.
Yeah.
We'll call it 3P3P, third party, third party.
Okay. I'm in.
All right. Now we just have to get a business person.
Kickstarter.
Right. Who needs business people? Well... Speaking of business, we got some BotCon business to talk about because we've got another exclusive toy reveal for the box set. This is going to be... So they after revealing him before they started doing the reveals, the first reveal was Cannonball, but it was the stuff we'd seen already. The second reveal recently happened. It's another pirate. This is Farrakh with his partner, Tornada. And it's Universe Cyclonus with Nightstick repainted into primarily white and red with some gray and stuff. This is a Photoshop job that we're seeing here, I don't know what this says about my reaction to the thing, but the first thing I thought when I looked at this was, oh man, I forgot that Cyclonus has two-tone thighs. And I had really forgotten about that, and it made me really start going like, oh man, he does. I forgot how much that stuck out in photos. Farrakh is a comic book character. He was in the old Marvel comics and has appeared in the IDW comics, where I believe he is deceased. But his whole thing was he was a dude which had two big pointy ears sticking out the sides of his head. And he was a bad guy.
All right. Well, that answers. Like, because my first thought seeing this was, who?
That was a response from a lot of folks I saw. The fact that Farrakh does exist means that I'm kind of like, I never really needed a Farrakh toy, but I can't come down on this for being Farrakh, because that's the kind of niche I keep saying that the club should move towards, is like the stuff that will never, ever get, for any decent reason other than a random renaming, show up in the main line. And it's a comic character, not the one I would have chosen, but I can't really, like, my disinterest, I'm trying to remove my disinterest from the concept of what it is. That's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, it seems so bland. And there's nothing about, like, I look at that, there's nothing about that that makes me think pirate.
Well, he's got skull and crossbone things in his wings.
Okay. All right. At least, I mean, at least Cannonball is named Cannonball, and you would find cannonballs on a pirate ship.
Hey, maybe Farrakh means something, you know?
I don't know. Was he a pirate?
He was
in the comics.
So I don't remember. Was he just
a background Decepticon that was only around long enough to get shot because they wanted to have some characters die in a scene but didn't want to kill off any characters anybody would care about?
So all I remember about the IDW Farrakh is he was part of the something-something squad that the Wreckers beat up, and the big thing was everyone thought the Wreckers, you know, killed them in a big final battle. And it turns out that Impactor kind of went all hard-ass and lined them up and killed them all execution style in a shed or something.
Okay, so he was there to die and not be a character that anybody is going to miss.
In the IDW comics, yes. In the Marvel comics, I don't remember what he did, and I'm now taking a look. Ah, here we go. Marvel Comics continuity, third paragraph, he exploded on impact. So yes, he killed two people, and then he span out of control, Blaster threw him into a tower, and Farrakh exploded.
Alright. So he's just a throwaway character.
Kinda, yeah.
And he looks like a throwaway part of this box set. Because there's really nothing, there's nothing about the color scheme I find particularly interesting.
So,
and nothing about it makes it look like anything except for a white and yellow, or a white and red Cyclonus.
So when I look at the color scheme, and I remember this is a Photoshop, there's one thing about this that could make it kind of cool to look at, and that's if they use an interesting white plastic, like a glittery one, or something with like a snowflake kind of gloss to it. Uh-huh. Could be really cool. If they just shoot white plastic in the mold, this could end up being pretty boring. Because I don't dislike the way that the colors are matched up. Like I like the way the red pops, but the white has to not be flat, or this is going to be the most boring thing.
Yeah. Well, pirate transformers aren't completely new of a concept. Knights are, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm a little disappointed to see that three of the five are pirates and only two are knights. So,
do we know the third one?
Well, I'm just looking at the BotCon page.
Oh! And I didn't
they have five boxes.
I was not paying attention to that.
Yeah, two of them have heads and the rest just have symbols.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's one more pirate symbol and two knight symbols.
I can't believe I walked right past that and was like, duh. Yeah, no. I missed that part.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, so, we'll see. And
do you know they're going to save, like they're going to give you one kind of cool one right off the bat to get everybody jacked, and that's Cannonball.
Yeah.
And then they're going to do, like, the kind of boring ones. And then they're going to save, like, the one that they think is the big one for last.
Yeah. So, well, here's what I'll give Farrakh. Farrakh is the kind of thing that, like, probably some guy has been trying to get them to do internally for years. And this is probably a big victory for, like, one dude.
And
I want to clap that dude in the back and give him a handshake.
Okay, is it that? Is it one dude's been like, Ferox the man, we got to do him. And then they went, okay, well, we'll just stick this name on a Cyclonus that gets no new head or anything. Or were they just digging for a character to use? And they went, oh, here's a character with, like, no real story to him that we could plug in. And his one defining trait is he has big ears, and so does Cyclonus. So we could use a Cyclonus mold. So
given that
this kind of works.
Given that they invented Flak and Landshark back in 09, I think someone had to have been pushing this, because they have in past just invented characters to fill in slots when there was nothing else to go there. So I feel like this is the result of someone who really wanted to see a Ferrak get made. All and right. I am happy for them. Like I said, it's at least it's not something that feels super rehashed and tired. It's just a shame that it also does not really do anything to, like, actually excite me.
But is this the Ferrak that person wanted?
I, you know what? If someone has been pushing this hard for a Ferrak toy, I think they have to take the Ferrak they're going to get.
All right. Well.
Or would you say
okay, the Ferrak? Hypothetical guy. I'm sorry. You're finally getting your Ferrak, and it's just a straight repaint.
Would you say it's the Ferrak they wanted or the Ferrak that they deserved?
I don't know them personally.
Well, yeah, I don't know either. I just the way the math adds up in my head, this had to have been someone's personal project to get a Ferrak made. Because right. Otherwise, there's no way that that committee would have gone like, you know what, we should make a Ferrak. Because it would have been like, you know what, we should make Landshark 2. Or something.
Okay. That's your theory. My theory is we need a character who's a character we can use. Let's find some obscure background comic book character that we can make something out of cheaply. I guess this works.
I will say I saw a post that someone linked on Twitter. Pete posted on TFW, Pete Sinclair, and he said that when in the case of why did you not pick make a new head for Ferrak, something along the lines of what you just said, Ferrak has a shape or a head shape that is similar enough to Cyclonus that it makes sense to not dip into our spare head or new part, not spare head, our new parts budget. And he was actually giving some figures on how much the set would cost if every figure had a newly steel cut molded head, which I thought was really interesting and should have been shared elsewhere. But
in all the BotCon box sets, not every figure gets a new head.
Yeah, so that's basically,
like, I'm not saying like they cheaped out by not making Ferrak a new head. I'm saying they needed a character they could cheap out on, and this filled, like, they made a match.
Oh no,
they found an obscure character that they could kind of use something that already existed with.
Yeah, yeah. Based on what you're saying, what I was trying to do there was kind of confirm that, yeah, that, like, Ferrak plus Cyclonus is a case of logistics adding up as well.
Okay. Now, that being said, what would be awesome is if in the comic book that comes with this set, Ferrak just blows up on the first page.
That would be great. That'd be great.
Then I'll just be like, that's fine. You guys made this cool. I take back any criticism I may have had.
You did because, the joke that needed to happen.
Yeah, because who gives a crap about their...
Also, Seth, I really got to give you a pat on the back for not doing the thing that everyone was... Well, not everyone, but the thing that a couple of us were hoping no one would give in and do and was done within about a minute of this going up.
Uh-huh.
Which was saying, who the Ferrak is that?
Oh.
Or, right. Sorry, specifically, who gives a Ferrak? Was the post that broke the chain immediately.
Yeah, I'd like to think that I have more, I have higher standards.
I said to give you a quick kudos in that regard.
That's also kind of like a backhanded compliment that you would think that I might have done that. That you have to congratulate me for not doing it. That means you thought that I might have done it.
I wanted to make a spectacle, I admit, and maybe in the back of my head, yeah, I was thinking, like, is he going to go for the lowest hanging fruit on this? Because I was like, it depends. If he really doesn't like Farrakh, maybe he's going to go as low as to say, who gives a Farrakh?
Mm.
But you didn't.
I don't think Farrakh sounds close enough to a curse word.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds, it's got a kind of vulgar thing to it. It ends with AK, starts with F, so it's like a frrr. It's got that kind of spittable nature to it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's reveal number two. We've got three more coming, as Seth pointed out. We've got one more pirate, two more knights, and
as I was so astutely able to count.
Yeah, you were able to read between the lines of that sight and put the clues together.
I cracked it.
You cracked the code.
That's me, everybody. That's on me. Give me news credits or something.
For his next trick, Seth will tell us who the Illuminati is. I don't want to set you up for anything here, but
you're kidding.
You've got skills.
All of a sudden, there's all these red laser dots in the room.
Anyway, also, because I know the comment will come up in the thread, I don't think it's even really worth saying anything regarding this set and its relation to the 30th anniversary. I mentioned a couple weeks ago.
It has nothing to do with
What's the point in bringing it up over and over again? Yeah. We should just focus on what the set is, you know?
Yeah. It has nothing to do with any anniversary of anything.
Because I could go like, oh, 30th anniversary, Farrakh. It's like, yeah, well, that's not going to change anything at this point.
Right. Look, because it's a big G.I. Joe anniversary. Hasbro doesn't care.
Yeah, guess what's happening to G.I. Joe when it's 50th? It's being confirmed that the team has been dissolved.
Yeah, it's being taken out. Taken out back by the dumpsters. And they're putting a bullet in the back of its head.
I want to talk about that a little bit.
Okay, let's do that. Because
I feel so bad.
Did some tweets.
I feel so bad for all the hardcore Joe fans that they had to find this out on this year in this way. That is so sad.
Yeah. Well, what I was hoping to see happen, and I tweeted about this, and some people informed me about how it can never possibly work. Okay, fine. But it'd be nice if they could figure out some sort of Joe media that works, like for the kids. Either a new cartoon or figure out a way to do movies that aren't awful. And do like what they're doing with all their other big toy lines, like Star Wars and Marvel and Transformers. You have the simplified, cheapy toys with the limited articulation for the kiddies based on whatever media they manage to develop. And then do like your Black Label six inch line of like your real American Hero style characters. And with those, with the 6 inches, because like if you're a Joe collector and you're into that 80s real American Hero style and you've been buying everything leading up to the movie toys, you've got a box full of Cobra Commanders. You got like three or four Dukes at minimum. You have multiples of characters because they eventually started running out of characters.
Lots of Snake Eyes.
Lots of so many Storm Shadows. So then if you do those designs in 6 inch, that's whole new toys that nobody has yet. And you could do them like three or four at a time as they do and kind of slowly work your way through.
Mm-hmm.
And then have that little cheap line on the side, but that all hinges on creating media that anybody cares about.
So I was going to say, I agree with everything you're saying, but I think our biggest stopgap happened after your first sentence of make media for G.I. Joe that isn't going to get tanked or be bad. And that's been the biggest problem with G.I. Joe, is like outside of comic books, every time they do a TV show that's interesting, it gets, you know, balled up and boxed up after 13 episodes. Every time they don't do something that's new and interesting, it feels super rehashed or just like dead empty, or it's highly flawed like those movies were. And I think, because here's how I'm taking it. There is no team working on G.I. Joe right now, but they still own the IP. The G.I. Joe Collector Club is still going to get to do whatever they want to do. So it's not like it's dead. It's just an indefinite hiatus, which is close to dead. I'm not going to disagree there. But I think that at this point, if G.I. Joe needs anything, it is like at least a full year of no one working on it. Just like let it simmer. And then come back to it with a very, if you're going to come back to it, come back to it with a very fresh set of heads to think about it and consider changing its status quo immensely as far as, like, new media goes. Because, yeah, like, I think that the fact that Star Wars has gone through and done 6-inch figures has killed anything I would have said about, oh, well, no G.I. Joe collector is going to want to go outside of 4-inch, because I think that whole mentality is really gone at this point. Like, they could do anything they want to with equal risk.
Yeah, and between Star Wars and Marvel, Hasbro's doing probably their best 6-inch figures they've ever done since they picked up the Marvel stuff from Toy Biz.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't really care for the first couple rounds of Hasbro 6-inch Marvel figures, because they completely changed the aesthetic, or they were like a lot more smooth and angular kind of design.
Mm-hmm.
And it really turned me off from what Toy Biz had been doing. But, like, I've picked up a few of the new Captain America figures, and I think they're doing some really good stuff. And I'm really tempted to get a couple of the Spider-Man ones.
I've been hearing a lot of good about
those. I
think
the Black Label stuff, the Star Wars stuff has been great. So I think for mainline American on-the-shelf 6-inch figures, which can't really compete with, like, your collector Japanese, like, Figmas and Figuarts and and that stuff, I think these are some of these are probably the best 6-inch figures that there have ever been. Because, you know, you can't compete with those collector things from Japan. That's a completely different game.
Shouldn't try to, because those figures are, like, I mean, the current retail on the new Captain America and Spider-Man Legends is approaching some of the figure arts price points, because they're hitting, like, they're starting to clear $20 at some places. But yeah. Figure arts is still a $30 to $40 toy line. And yeah, you can't expect that, but I like how the expanded price point is leading to stuff like Alternate Hands. Alternate Hands is everything I've wanted on, just like, if I was going to add one thing to American 6-inch toys, it was that. And I love seeing that on all these figures now, like Greedo and Han Solo and Spider-Man.
Well, great. Not to get ahead of off topic, but I picked up one of the Captain Americas and he came with two sets of hands and two heads.
Yeah.
It's a really nice figure. I think it's really cool. But we'll get more into that later. So yeah, I would love to see 6-inch Joes, but for, like, a new cartoon to capture a new generation of kids to get them into G.I. Joe, I really think they need to try to do something that has nothing to do with the 80s Real American Hero Joe.
Absolutely. They need to not... And I love just, a lot of that.
They need a whole new idea.
Yeah. They need... And it's not the only idea, but I think an idea worth considering, I've said many times, is Nick's Cobra. I love Cobra. But if that's what it would take to really refresh G.I. Joe, to give him a different adversary, I think that'd be worth trying.
A different adversary, different heroes. No Duke, no Snake Eyes. Scarlet's out.
Yeah.
Just... try to come up with something completely new. They did it before. The switch from the old 12-inch G.I. Joe dolls to the 3¾-inch Real American Hero action figures was a massive departure from what Joe was. Mm-hmm. Try another massive departure. Maybe it will fail, but everything else you've been doing has been a failure too.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it sucks. It sucks, but it also affords a bit of freedom in how G.I. Joe... can literally do anything, and the risk is worth it right now.
Yeah.
If they want to do any more G.I. Joe.
And that's coming from somebody who loves the Real American Hero stuff. Cobra Commander and Destro and the Baroness are, like, they're some of my favorite cartoon villains ever. But I just think it's a bad idea to keep using them right now.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, I mean, I say all this, there's a good chance G.I. Joe really just might, you know, the club will continue, it'll live there for a little while, and then maybe it'll just fade into the sunset, and I wouldn't be surprised by it, but there's such a rabid fan base just for the fiction side of it that I think that some of its identity can be stripped away, and those people can still be kept on, and like you were saying, eventually, if you can really solidify it, you can make the money to... set aside, and you can take the risk to start doing collector stuff again. Make, like, the 6-inch real American hero, you know, wave one, wave two, give us 3 Cobra guys, 3 G.I. Joe guys, and it could work. But, yeah, I just going back to what I said at the beginning, this upcoming Joe-Con, I think the only thing that I find to be the biggest tragedy, and the biggest surprise tragedy, is that there will be no Hasbro people there. I'm sure this is not by anyone, any of the designers' intent. I don't think any of them want to not be there. I'm sure there's, you know, legal reasons or even just scheduling reasons why they can't make it there. But I think if anything could have softened the blow, it would have been to have a bunch of the old team there, at least to commiserate and talk about good times. Because when Transformers Animated, you know, ended a little prematurely, as a season 4 was in the works, the thing that I think really helped was at that BotCon, like, the whole team who could make it, everyone from the team who could make it there had an animated panel. And it was a panel where they said, we can't bring the show back right now, but we're just going to do this panel, we're going to talk about good times, and we're going to just remember how fun the show was. And that took so much of the sting off of that year. I think that if any of the Joe team could be able to go to JoeCon, not even have a panel, but just sit down with a bunch of people and talk about, you know, good times and bad times working on that stuff, at least it would be a sense of closure for the time being, and it wouldn't be that presence being yanked right out of the convention. And it, like, the fact that they're not there makes it feel so much harsher that this all went down.
It makes it feel like Hasbro is completely turned its back on Joe.
And they haven't, because, I mean, they're going to still pour plastic and molds for the club's new toys. I looked at what this year's set is, and there's a whole ton of new head toolings. So it's like there's going to be new Joe figures pressed into molds, but otherwise...
Yeah, but, like, with that case, though, a lot of the design is, I mean, Hasbro isn't, they don't have to really assign anybody to that work, because it's the club making those decisions and coming up with their own designs. So, my assumption is, as long as JoeCon draws enough crowd to warrant happening on an annual basis, then that will be like the CPR keeping Joe's heart beating.
Yeah.
But as soon as the club stops doing the chest compressions, then Hasbro's not going to be, you know, jumping to be like, oh, we got to fill that very thin, tiny gap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if no one's going to be able to make it this year, whatever, but I would, no one's going to hear this, but if I were in the position to do so, I would implore someone, like whoever could be the decision maker at Hasbro, I would implore them, get some of the old Joe team to JoeCon next year to have that panel, to have that sense of closure for the time being, because that will go miles, in my opinion. Even if a Joe fan listening to this does not agree, let me tell you, that animated panel did so much for a lot of people to take the bite off of it, and it would be a year set apart, but at least if in 2015 you can get the Joe team there to just talk about what they'd like to have done and stuff that they thought was cool, stuff that they thought might not have worked, it will help so much, and I hope that that can be the case next year if it's not going to be this year.
Or just let them have their farewell moment.
Yeah.
Instead of just disappearing into the nothing, as what seems to be happening.
I mean, it really makes it a lot clearer to me how stuff like, you know, G.I. Joe team members working on sticker sheets for Transformers happened, because they weren't working on anything else. And according to, I was talking to some folks on Twitter who would know this stuff. Apparently, the upcoming movie Voyager Hound is a Transformer designed by a dude who used to work on G.I. Joe. So the Joe team members have, and I mean, that's a 2-year development cycle. Joe team members have already been poking their heads into other parts of Hasbro properties for at least 2 years now.
Well, and so it's not surprising when you look at how little Joe stuff has been coming out.
Yeah.
But I think another telling thing to keep an eye out for will be when Comic-Con rolls around. Mm. If they do another G.I. Joe Transformer crossover set.
Yeah. No, definitely. Like, if there will be anything that isn't FunPub that releases new stuff for I'll say that isn't FunPub or isn't Art Vinyls that says G.I. Joe on it. Because that's the other bummer, is if you ignore convention exclusives, one of the last G.I. Joe branded products to hit the shelves was G.I. Joe Creo. And it's like, come on. Not like this. Right out of Matrix 1, sitting here in my white coat, just cradling G.I. Joe in my arms, looking up at Neo, just going like, not like this.
What's that old phrase? Good soldiers don't die, they just fade away.
Yeah.
Joe seems to be on the fade.
Yeah. So, condolences to all the G.I. Joe hardcores out there. No one is happy that your franchise is suffering like this. For all the jokes I've made, I really didn't think it was this bad. I always thought there was some kind of backup plan. But I guess... I think really, like, that 6 to 8 month delay on the second movie... That had to really have been, like, just the brick to the back of G.I. Joe's head that put him in a coma.
Like, yeah, at the very least, it just stifled the momentum.
Yeah.
But, like, something we talked about in the past, and some people threw up on Twitter, like, as a possible, you know, really new thing, like, ditch Cobra and Duke and Snake Eyes. Co-brand, bring back Mask as a division of G.I. Joe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's been... even ignoring the Matt Tracker figure, the road to that has been so very clearly laid out for so long as just, like, this big open door just waiting for the right time. Like, you know, in a position where there's nothing to lose by taking any risk, that is another really... worthwhile thing to try out, because why not? What else are you going to do?
I call it G.I. Joe : Mask.
Yeah.
Or Mask, a G.I. Joe squad. Or
Mask, Agents of Joe.
Right, and you could have, like, little cameos from Cobra communicating with Venom. Because, you know, Venom, that's a very easy name to link to Cobra. And then you can have all these... fresher characters. I mean, they're not new characters. They're still 80s rehash, but it's a lot newer to kids today.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, not completely let go. Like, Matt Tracker can periodically be looking at a computer monitor, and there's Duke, like, going, Matt, we need you to go check this thing out. And goes, sure thing, Duke. We'll load up and we'll go check it out. And then that's all you see of Duke.
Or there's Snake Eyes just staring at him from the monitor. And Matt's like, I still don't know what you're saying. So I don't know why you keep calling me like this. Anyway, yeah. 50th anniversary of G.I. Joe. Worst birthday present one could ask for. really sucks. I also... I want to throw out there, I was looking at the convention exclusives that they're getting this year. In the 12-inch collector-oriented set, they're actually getting something that looks really cool, is they're doing a 3¾-inch figure with a head that's designed to look like the original 12-inch G.I. Joe head. Like, with the beard and everything.
I haven't looked at any of that stuff.
That thing looks kind of cool. It's packed in with a bunch of 12-inch figures, which is kind of a bummer. But
give me a link.
All right, I'll go find it for you.
Well, I thought you were looking at it right now.
Oh, no, I looked at this like four or five days
ago. Well, then I could just find it. I mean, well, I thought you were looking at it right now.
The process has already started. You can't stop me now. Here you go. It's a Joe Colton.
Oh, okay. I saw this. I thought you said 12-inch line.
Oh, no, like he's in the 12-inch box set is what I mean. So, to get that figure, you have to buy the box set that comes with two 12-inch figures.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, I think that's really dumb. Because if they were just selling that Joseph Colton alone, I would try to get that. Like, if that was a non-attendee thing.
Or have it in the 4-inch box set.
Now, the 4-inch box set is some kind of zombie thing.
No, of course.
It's called the Zombie Initiative. It has the Eco Force, and it has a zombie dog. Did you see the zombie dog?
I'm looking at it right now.
It's called Daug.
Or I just saw it, and I'm trying to click on it, but it's not
something
I could click on. I'm looking at the thumbnail, but I can't click on it.
I actually kind of want the Toxo Vipers and Toxo Zombies, because I had Toxo Vipers and Toxo Zombies when I was a kid. I have nostalgia for them. But I will get over that probably by next month, if not tomorrow.
You know, there's going to be a lot of people buying that 12-inch set and not wanting the 12-inch figures.
Yep. Anyway, that's enough G.I. Joe talk for this Transformers podcast, I think.
Well, I mean, I consider them related.
No, they are. They are. I mean, the conventions are run by the same company. And
okay. I finally found the zombie dog.
Looks freaky, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. Apparently that's the pet of the guy who's in charge of the zombie project. It's a guy called Repulsor.
Dr. Zombo.
Repulsor the Sludge Viper.
I would have called him Dr. Zombo.
They got cool new heads. A lot of cool new heads in this. That was another thing that really, you know, when you look back, it's a writing on the wall, is the current, as I understand it, one of, if not the current team who makes new head designs for Redeco Transformers, and who's now working on the Transformers heads for the BotCon exclusives, are guys who did G.I. Joe head sculpts.
I like TJ Bang.
TJ, oh, you mean Chabang?
Yeah.
Sorry, pronounced Chabang.
Well, I'm sticking with TJ Bang.
I had Chabang when I was a kid. I always thought he was cool because his name made no sense. I have the old Chabang toy because he has like the weird tiger luchador mask.
TJ Bang.
He's from Ninja Force.
I noticed from all the ninja crap.
Yeah, it's just like the old toys. Crazy hook swords. I just always remembered him. He's the tiger luchador ninja with hook swords. He's always on my little G.I. Joe play box. It was always him versus Slice and Dice.
You know, I'm gonna throw this out there. If they do revitalize Joe in the future, cool it on the ninjas.
I think that they should not do ninjas for a long time if they bring it back. But you know what? If they bring it back, I bet you one thing that'll go up on the whiteboard is, what if we just make it a show about ninjas?
Yep. Yeah, I fully expect. That's what I fully expect.
Because that's
either all ninjas or no ninjas.
Yeah. Ninjas are a proven thing for G.I. Joe throughout the years.
It's proven to be the end.
Yeah.
When they go crazy with ninjas, that's when it's over. It's the last gasp. We're losing the kids, and we're not selling as many toys. What are we gonna do? We're gonna double down on ninjas.
Bust out more ninjas.
All ninja. Yeah, just keep more ninjas. All the ninjas. Keep ninjaing. Never not ninjas.
Never gonna ninja. Triple N. Yeah.
Somebody writes three N's on a chalkboard. Never not ninjas.
Who are their guests at JoeCon anyway? I never pay attention to JoeCon. That's
nobody from Hasbro.
They're going to get Michael Bell.
Isn't that Michael McConaughey there?
Yeah, Michael McConaughey too. Why don't we get Michael Bell at BotCon? Well, I mean, he was a bigger deal in G.I. Joe, I guess. Well,
it looks like they're finally going to get Morgan Lofting. Morgan Lofting, voice of the Burn.
We should go to JoeCon so we can record another podcast with her.
Well, and Michael.
And
they were the two from last episode.
Bring the two. Like, all right, maybe under the auspices of G.I. Joe, you guys won't somehow emit a null wave frequency that wipes out my entire recording.
Michael's going to see us coming, and he's just going to go, oh no.
Michael!
Not these two idiots again.
From across the room, we're just like our arms wide open, like,
Mike, what's up?
Oh, they got Larry Hama.
Size.
They got a Hasbro alumnus going as a guest. They could, you know what? Make your guest list in 2015 a bunch of the team who just dissolved about G.I. Joe and give them a panel. That will do very well, in my opinion. Anyway, let's take an intermission break.
Okay.
Then we can come back and talk about some what we got this week's. And then after that, we can talk about, you know, other things, but I think I know something we're going to talk about. It's going to hint dun, like dun, that. Dun. Anyway, listen to this.
Surrounded on all sides, the odds of survival are a million to one.
G.I. Joe's dream!
And with the collapse of the former superpower,
several powerful factions now vie for control.
The threat is real. An evil organization calling itself Scar.
Not only as Scar.
Their goal?
Nothing short of total world domination.
Led by this man,
known only as Iron Claw.
We will be victorious!
Not on my watch!
Critical.
Roll call!
Extreme!
Ballistic!
Harpoon!
Mayday!
Blast Dragon!
Thunder Savage!
Greek Strike!
Melon!
Right!
Lieutenant Stone!
The odds are a million to one.
And that's the way we like it!
We're back and we've got stuff to say!
Stuff!
To say!
Stuff.
To say.
All I have to say is stuff. Stuff.
This is going to be an action-packed next couple of hours of podcasting, then, let me tell you what. Because we got what we got this week.
Ah.
And Seth's going to say stuff a whole bunch.
Yep.
Yeah. So, Seth,
hey.
On the topic of Transformers and similar product, did you get anything this week you want to talk about?
Well, I got this last time, and I mentioned that I got it, but I hadn't opened it. So.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to pontificate. So I had gotten Diesel, the last of the not Stonticons. So I still haven't really been able to go all out and do all his modes and then the combiner. So I'm just going to comment on his truck and his basic robot mode.
All right.
And the instruction book.
Okay.
I hate the instruction book.
Me too.
It is awful. It's more... I would have called it a suggestion book.
It literally misses a couple steps. That's the... Of all the things it does, that is the most unforgivable sin it commits. It literally does not mention at least one critical motion, if not a couple others.
Yeah, I'm like... I get to a point where I'm... Okay, I followed all the directions, but the legs are completely wrong. This is supposed to be the outside of the leg, not the inside of the leg, and the screw on the hip is supposed to not be facing forward. What?
Oh, that
is going on
is its own separate thing. Because apparently, so I solved that just by doing the thing where you turn the hip around and flip it, right?
Right. That's what I eventually did, but
I'm trying
to follow the directions, and I didn't see anything in the directions that told me to do that.
I saw some posts implying that some people actually just took apart the thigh and flipped the plates, and I don't know if that was necessary, but some people are implying it is, but I've not seen a concrete reason why.
There was a moment I thought, are these legs misassembled? Do I have to take them apart?
Some people just went ahead and did that.
All right, well, I thought about it. I didn't do it.
I don't think you need to, but...
The thought crossed my mind.
Yeah.
On his feet, there's these tabs that bump into his legs.
Like, oh, they're the things that make his ankles funny, right?
Yeah, so
he
can never really stand straight. He always has to be kind of sprawl-legged.
So I'm not going to do this to mine because I just feel like I'll mess it up, but someone did shave down those tabs. They didn't get rid of them. But they shortened them to the point where they didn't interfere with the feet, and according to everyone who's done that, the tabs still completely function for locking together what they lock together.
Okay.
But I'm not about to try it, because I feel like I'm going to screw it up.
Yeah, I'm nervous to mess with stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's disappointing. But, yeah, there's the instructions are just bad. And I don't really care for how they're laid out. Like, so we'll show a step, and it'll be like, okay, here's a picture. Now we've highlighted the two parts that you're going to be moving. We've drawn crazy curving arrows. But the picture doesn't really show the... Like, I don't know, it feels like in better done instructions, you see in that step what you're doing. Instead of like, these are the parts, and then... It's kind of hard to determine what you're supposed to be doing arrow. So what I would tend to do is go, okay, I know I need to move these two parts. Go to the next picture, see where the parts are there, and then figure out how to move them to get them there.
It's very Lego style, I found. Of like,
yeah, I didn't find the arrows very useful.
No, and I think like those instructions struck me as being written by and checked over by people who knew the toy too well. So, mm-hmm. like, people looking at the instructions, you know, in their head were probably filling in gaps. Because once, in my opinion at least, I don't know if you agree, once you've actually transformed that guy, like, he's not as difficult as he feels because everything has a place to go. But when you're writing instructions for him, you gotta be more clear and you gotta know that people aren't gonna know what you know. Because there are times where, I was in the position of staring at something going, like, I literally don't know what this arrow means because I can't move it in a two-dimensional space this way in relation to the photo, so they must mean in the Z-axis, but how? And I eventually just went and watched someone else do it on YouTube.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, just the instructions are just awful. And, like, so I flipped through the instructions before I started. I'm like, oh, these are fairly short. He must be relatively simple. And then when I start moving parts around, I'm like, there are so many bits. There's so much stuff that moves. These directions, I could already tell, are insufficient. So I got him into his basic robot mode. Besides those little tabs on his ankles, as I was going through the transformation, so like where his upper torso separates from his hips and crotchety kind of area.
Yeah, yeah.
There's that bit that folds over onto itself.
Yeah.
That is really thin and is scaring the crap out of me, how thin it is.
Yeah.
And when I was first moving parts around and I was trying to fold it down and it's not giving and folding and I'm just seeing it bend, I went, oh no.
So there's, like, I'm really, like, everything you're bringing up, like, it's exactly the same road I went down my first time with that toy. And I did a lot of reading in the Mega Thread afterwards to see if I was just, like, dumb or if everyone went through stuff like that. A lot of people were terrified by that piece. And I think, if I recall correctly, the theory going around is that piece is made of palm, so it should be incredibly hard to actually break.
Even still.
Like, it is scary looking, for sure. I'm not going to... You look at that thing, and it's terrifying. But it looks like there's some really smart materials use in that toy. It's just that, you know, we're coming off of years of collecting toys that look that frail that aren't using materials that can bend and survive the bend that happens.
Well, you could tell me it's made out of titanium, and I'm still going to be careful.
Yeah.
It just... Ugh. It looks like so much is riding on such a thin piece. I'm not going to take any chances. My only other real criticism are like his big wing things sticking out his back.
Yeah. Have you seen any of the alternate positions people have come up with for those?
I've been fiddling with them. I was fiddling with them probably more than anything else about them last night, trying to figure out a good position. I wish there was more... they conflict with too much. I wish there was a way to sort of angle them out better and then have some more clearance to move them around. Because if you were able to get them... Because they do pull down some.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that helps, but if you were able to get them sort of out and down farther to where you could hang them closer to the hips and have them then have more like a sword sheath skirt piece kind of look, then that would be fine. I would be completely fine with that. But the more they stick out and not down, the less I like them.
And they're another part where when you move him into the final position they end up at in his robot mode, there's a very specific, and I think there's a very specific order that things need to be done to not have stuff really frighteningly bang together. And that's something that the instructions, I think, also really don't communicate well, is like, if you don't, if you just put them there, or if you just leave them hanging out over here, eventually you're going to kind of cut off the path of least resistance to get them in place. And everything's going to get crazy and a little bit frightening. And then that'll just, that leads to people just popping them off the balls.
Maybe I just got lucky and got around it all, because I didn't really have an issue with them in that way.
It came up also more for me when I was transforming the dude like over and over again. Because then I was just running into a couple little moments of block paths. But
yeah. So I haven't tried his Intimidator mode yet, which I think looks a little silly anyway. And I haven't done the big combining yet. But there's still a, like, the colors are great. You could get him into some like very anime-ish poses. I like the head sculpt. For a while I've been a little disappointed, like with the Bakon exclusive Motormaster. I was a little bummed about how small the head box was. I was a little bummed with this guy, how small the head box was, like compared to the original figure.
The huge box.
Yeah. But then as I was looking at pictures of different versions last night, there's pictures of his animation model. And I had just kind of forgotten that he's got a small box around his head in the cartoon too. And then that started making it more okay. I'm like, oh, well, I guess, you know, then, in the cartoon, he had a little head box. But as long as his head is in some sort of a box, the size is forgivable. And there's a really nice range of motion on the ball joint for his head.
Yeah.
Like, you could cock his head kind of sideways to make him look all quizzical. You have him looking to the side and down, like he's action-y.
Yeah, like this, the standalone Diesel, and I love how you can turn him into like a kind of mini version of his truck mode by just leaving the back half of the trailer off and like sticking the doors in there instead. So he's like a, carrying a normal size trailer. That figure on its own, like without the Intimidator pack, I think is actually really good. Like
I work around trucks, I do not consider that a normal size trailer. I would think if a big rig backed up into our dock with a stumpy little trailer like that, we'd all be going like, what's the deal with, why didn't they just use a bobtail? This is no bigger than one of our bobtails.
The Motormaster's got a, he's got a thing, you know, he's a fancy person. He doesn't want to carry too much stuff at once.
Okay, well, I'm glad you like his little stumpy trailer mode. I think it looks silly.
I mostly like it because it's a way to keep himself contained as like a standalone toy. Because I having transformed him a bunch, I actually really like transforming him, and I really like just playing with him as a standalone toy. I like the combined mode too, don't get me wrong. But as a standalone guy, Diesel I thought was actually pretty strong with enough time given to him. So I really ended up enjoying that figure. And I thought he was gonna be the kind of figure where I'm too put off transforming him over and over again, but I really like how everything has a place to go. It's nice that there isn't too much stuff flopping around.
Yeah. No, I mean he's got his pros and cons.
Yeah.
Like Wally, I was trying to transform him working off the instructions, I was thinking this is my least favorite of the five. But then after I got him done and was messing with putting him in different poses, I'm like, you know, he's actually pretty rad.
Yeah.
Just these weird back wings are a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah, yeah, totally. But once you transform him a bunch more times, I bet you're going to hit that same moment, or that same plateau of like, this isn't actually as hard now that you've been through it once or twice.
Uh-huh.
And that really helps with that figure, because then he just kind of becomes fun to mess with, like, on his own, which is the nicest thing. One of the nicest things you can say about a member of a combiner team is that they're actually pretty good on their own. Because it's so easy to just ignore that side of those toys.
Yeah. No, I think they're all very nice.
Yeah.
So, I just got to get them all together now. One of these days, I'll have a minute to do that. If, you know, I could ever start getting off work at a decent time.
Yeah, your first time getting him into Menasor mode, the way that he turns into, you know, that part of the combined mode, you're going to need to set aside an evening, I think, to futz through that, because that's another whole thing of thanks instructions a whole bunch of times in a row.
Yeah, and I suspect I'm not going to have as much helping me out, like being able to look at pictures.
That's the case where I'd like, almost say,
on the box. I mean,
yeah. I'd say just like load up someone's YouTube video at that point and just get it ready for reference.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. I'll definitely need a video, I think.
Yeah.
Just to save myself some frustration.
Well, then at least you'll know, like, oh, so this part is supposed to move like this. I'm not about to, like, break something. Because he does some crazy stuff.
Yeah. No, but it's good. I'm glad to have them. I love Motor Master.
Yeah.
I think the truck mode is great. So.
Yeah.
And it's so heavy.
And I love how he comes out of the box, too, because you open up the box, you slide the tray out, it's just the truck mode, and you pick him up, and you're like, oh, what's all this stuff?
Yeah.
It's this dense little truck mode.
Yeah, I took it out of the box. I'm like, ooh. And my girlfriend's like, what? I'm like, feel this, how heavy this is. And she goes, holy crap. And then I popped off the back half of the trailer. I'm like, all this does not become the robot. This is all more stuff. Like, this part is just the robot. This is all extra. And she's like, holy crap. What does this thing turn into? And then I told her the whole story of combiners.
Yeah, and that, I'm curious how you'll take the Intimidator mode, because...
Just from looking at the pictures, it looks like they just figured out a way to stick all the extra crap on.
Yeah. I have a big problem with it, which is there's a couple parts that are supposed to tab together, and they bear a lot of weight, but their tabs, on mine at least, are not super up to the task.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of makes the whole thing where I'm already kind of going like, well, I guess this is kind of cool. And then like a piece of it falls off and I'm like, well, this is not, I don't want to have to go through work to hold all this together when I really just want to move them into combined mode. But I'm glad you're enjoying them so far. Give us an update once you get there on the combined mode.
Okay.
Continue this discussion.
And I didn't get anything newer than that, so.
I got a couple things I could talk about myself.
Okay, let's hear about them.
I'm going to link you to something, because I got a test shot of this in the mail. I think it's a test shot, direct from the manufacturer. This is Before and After's Six Sigma, their take on Six Gun. This is a toy meant to be a companion piece to Generations Metroplex. So I got a test shot of this, which I think may be the one in these photos, but I'm not sure.
Then yours is famous.
Well, it also is missing stuff. It came wrapped in bubble wrap, so it had no instructions, no box, and it did not come with the white slammer tank either. Although, that's not really a big deal, because as far as being able to show what it does, that slammer tank just kind of looks like it's a tank with a peg on it, so you can stick it on his arm. And maybe it kind of flips inside out to move the turret around, so it's not a big deal. But I have the base robot. So Seth, I want to ask you, like, just looking at photos of this robot, how tall do you think it is, roundabouts?
Oh, well, now I'm going to think that it's not my original guess. I'm going to say, like, scout size?
So I was interested because when I pulled this thing out of the bubble wrap and stuck his legs onto his body, I was, like, taken aback. So... from head to toe, ignoring the big cannon sticking off of his back, right, just up to the top of his head, he's like 10 inches tall. And then...
I thought it would have been small.
No, he's like 10 inches tall in robot mode, 13 inches tall to the tip of those cannons.
Wow.
So I was like, holy crap! Because I knew he'd be kind of big because his legs turn into guns that are sized to Metroplex. But I didn't know he would be, like, that big. And then if you want... you can extend his legs a little bit to make him even taller, but then he starts to look really silly. Because then you're just turning his legs into gun mode while they're attached. So, he's really big compared to what I thought. I was expecting maybe 7 or 8 inches tall. He's got decent posability, like a lot of ratchet joints. They do not have, like, a super full range. Like, his legs only really move out one click. His knees only bend about 40 degrees. So not quite 45 degrees. His arms are pretty poseable, but his legs are serviceable. He's got like ankle tilts via the front of his feet. So he's not like he's not gymnastically poseable, but he can still do a decent number of different postures. He's got like a ball-jointed head. And he turns into a couple things. He can pull his legs off, and each of his legs turn into a gun. And the thing I sent you does not show the gun mode for his legs. That's embarrassing. I'll send you a picture of that as soon as I can. But the way they transform into guns is kind of interesting. Like, it's a lot of telescoping parts, more so than anything else. And I have a picture of his gun mode here. And they use the same manner of hooking into Metroplex's palm as Metroplex's own big red gun. But these things have like a little sight built into them and stuff. And they function all right for that. The one bummer about the gun mode, though, is that outside of Metroplex's hands, they really don't peg in anywhere else on any of his other modes. Unless I'm... And the thing is, I don't have the instructions, so I don't know if they make use of, like, a ridge somewhere on his battle station mode to, like, plug into the flight ramp, like on the G1 toy. So, I don't know if they do anything else, but I spent about an hour and a half trying to suss out if they do, and as far as I can tell, they don't seem to. The rest of his body, you can see in the original link I sent you, turns into a kind of little artillery tower.
Yeah.
And that is built to stick right into the city mode, into not the robot mode or the base mode, but the city mode of Metroplex. And it sticks in right where it did on the G1 toy, which is, you know, just over the helipad. It doesn't really peg in, but it does sit really solidly using two pegs that go into a pair of screw holes up there. I don't know if this image is in the link I sent you, but here's a direct picture of what it looks like.
Now, but this other picture of Metroplex holding the gun leg, if you had shown me that earlier, I would not have guessed that it was so small.
Oh, okay.
I really hadn't been following this at all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have one of those Metroplexes. I'm unlikely to get one. So usually whenever somebody's like, this is a Metroplex thing, I just go, nah.
Yeah.
And don't really investigate it. So.
But he's got a little artillery tower thing that he does. And it's okay. But there's two bummers. Number one is his backpack. You just kind of pull off of his back and then stick on top of that tower mode.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't fall off or anything, but I thought it was going to slide. Number two, his head doesn't really go anywhere. It's just kind of like on the back of it, and you're just kind of ignoring it. And again, the tower mode doesn't really go anywhere else that I can see. The one cool thing he can do is he can take Metroplex's two black guns and stick them onto the artillery tower, so it has more guns. And so basically what this guy does is he just does what the G1 toy did. Is he part of him turns into a tower for city mode, the rest of him turns into guns for Metroplex's robot mode, and that's about it. And if I had one disappointment, really, it would be that I was hoping there'd be a way for him to integrate more into all the different modes. I couldn't tell you how, because I haven't put much thought into it, but I was assuming there'd be something more there, and maybe there is, and I just can't find it without the instructions. But ignoring that, like, he does as much as he's supposed to on paper, and he's a fairly tall robot for a, you know, third-party toy, and he's got a decent number of joints, decent construction, and I like the way he looks. I like how he's kind of like just a huge-legged super robot with a visor and a faceplate. So, I'm looking forward to seeing how the final product turns out, and I'm hoping to get a video for this thing up this coming week, to show how it works and etc. But, just came in bubble wrap, and I was not sure what it was for a couple minutes as I was trying to cut all the bubble wrap away. Whoa. And he just hit my pop guard real hard with his backpack. But I also got some Transformers that were not test shots. Because I'm still just like the common man.
Test Shot would be a good name for a Transformer character.
Yeah, what's up? I'm Test Shot. Comes with no paint apps. This variant comes in gray, and only gray. I got some Transformers from Hobbylink Japan that I had pre-ordered some time ago. I got Masterpiece G2 Sideswipe, who's pretty hot. He knows where it's at. I haven't put any of the stickers on yet, but I really like all the extra parts. I love the way you can take all his extra parts, like all basically all of his 90s parts, and just put them together into a big blob of 90s and stick it on the roof of the vehicle mode. And there's some pretty funny photos that some folks in Japan have taken of where they just strapped more stuff to the big blob of 90s bits, like chains and chainsaws and more guns, etc., and just bolted this huge mound of weaponry on top of a Lamborghini. He's still the same masterpiece sideswipe toy, so he's still, you know, he's got all the same pros and cons. And he's got a new face where he's got his teeth, and they're all gritted, and he's all like, and he looks super mad, because he's like 90s sideswipe. So,
everything was more extreme in the 90s.
Oh, he's got such an extreme face. You've seen his head sculpt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I wish he came with a bright green gun, but I can see how they gave me enough other stuff for me to forgive that. But if any third parties out there want to make the ultimate final accessory for this guy, it'd be a two-pack of a bright green gun and an ammo belt to strap around his chest. And I'd be set. I also got the Japanese versions of Generations Rhinox and Waspinator, which are in darker, more metallic colors. And in the case of their physical construction, feel a bit more solid than the American versions. I can confirm, at least on mine, Japanese Rhinox's knees are not super loose. They are pretty solid. The plastic tension is pretty tight. His hips were still pretty loose, but that's easy to fix because they're a mushroom peg connection, so you just get some nail polish in there. And he's darker, but he's more metallic. His chain guns have more paint apps on them. So, I don't know. If you want a brighter Rhinox, go American. If you want a darker metallic Rhinox, go Japanese. But I can say Takara Tomy version feels like it's overall better construction. And Waspinator is also darker, more metallic, more paint apps. And also, I think, feels like he's got a slightly better construction in the part that seems to break for everybody, which is his shoulder pins. They don't feel quite as sticky, although my American one also didn't really feel all that sticky, just a little bit. But they're both quite nice. I've gotten quite an appreciation for both of those figures over the last couple weeks, messing with them more and more. Don't know if you really should spend all the extra money for the Japanese ones unless, you know, you really like Waspinator and Rhinox. But I can say Rhinox will also give you better knees. And I don't know about you, Seth, but to me, it's always good to have good knees in your robot man.
It's good to have good knees in life.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to do without good knees? Fall down. Get knee surgery. Yeah, get knee surgery and fall down.
That's no fun.
They cut your knees open.
Oh, and then your weeks and weeks of recovery. I've witnessed it.
Think about your knee getting sliced open by a doctor. I don't want to think about it. Neither do you.
I'd rather think about that than it being sliced open by a maniac.
This is true, because a maniac would probably not use a localized anesthetic or really do anything after opening up your knee except for cutting it more.
Now, if it's Dr. Maniac, the supervillain, then it's a wash.
Don't go to Dr. Maniac if you need a doctor. I'm just saying. That's not the name of a practitioner I would trust. And that's all my Transformer stuff, too. I got a couple. I found the final Cyberverse Commanders, but I haven't opened them all up yet, so I don't really have much to say at this point.
God, the only Cyberverse Commanders I see. Those are the Generation 1 guys, right? The two.
Oh,
packs?
No, no. These are the Beast Hunters ones. This is the ones with Bludgeon out of Shockwave.
Okay, I'm thinking of those Generation 2 packs.
Oh, no. Swerve and Cosmos, I've been looking for them, because they're showing up in my province. And I have been looking, like, 3 times a week for them. I still haven't found them yet.
I have been seeing so many Megatrons and Starscreams, and that's it.
Oh!
Just Megatron and just Starscream. Nothing else.
Because that's what sucks, right? Is you see the card that doesn't have the CG on it, so you're like, ooh, that's not the data discs. That could be, oh.
Yeah. Oh, and I see plenty of those, too.
Oh, yeah, that's all I see as far as that price point. It's just walls of data discs. Although, I'm finally seeing the Autobot ones in Toys R Us. I already got mine months ago, thanks to a listener, but you know, they're finally showing up here for people who want them to go with Blaster. And if you are getting into that play pattern, I personally think the Autobots side is the superior one. But yeah, no, I haven't seen Swerve and Cosmos yet. And I got a tweet from someone in Nova Scotia saying they found them. And they're like, yo, you got yours yet? And I'm like, I wish. I'm only in one of the biggest cities in Canada and we don't have them yet. Where's my privilege? Well, that's our Transformers talk. Now we're going to talk about some stuff we got that was not Transformers related. But we still want to talk about it anyway because it's our birthday and we can cry if we want to. Seth.
I'm crying.
Did you get anything that was not a Transformer?
Yeah, I got a few things.
Well,
I want to talk about comic books.
Comic books? Yeah. Who reads those?
Bunches of people.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So I'm catching up on the trade paperback Walking Dead because I'm not getting involved in monthly issues.
Mm-hmm.
Ever again.
Good plan for Walking Dead, especially.
Yeah, I think for anything. So, I had gotten volume 18 a while ago. Hadn't read it. I knew 19 was out. I wasn't bothering to pick it up because I hadn't read 18. Then I see volume 20. And I spot that at Target, and it was 20% off, and I felt kind of dirty about buying it at Target, because if I'm going to buy it in a store, I kind of want to go to a comic book store and do it, and support comic book stores and not Target for that sort of thing.
Mm.
But then I was like, oh, 20% off. So I got 20 there. Then yesterday I went to a comic book store and got 19. And then I went up, then I grabbed my 17, or my 18, I mean. I read 17 a long time ago, and I read through 18 in one sitting.
I still can't remember the last one I read now. That's why I kind of fell off Walking Dead, is I lost track of what trade I was on.
Well, and they have numbers printed on them.
I know, but I don't remember.
The spine, and there's a number. And
they're here. They're over on the West Coast.
Well, because like the way it went for me with the comics was my friend Jason loaned me Compendium 1.
Yeah.
And I read it. I read that. Then I was curious if 2 was out, and it just came out. So then I bought my own volume 1 and 2. And then right after I finished 2, trade paperback 17 came out, which picks up right where Compendium 2 ends. And now I'm going to work on the trades. Work off the trades.
I've been thinking of just getting those compendiums because I know that they will catch me up on stuff I forgot and take me past where I know I left off.
Uh-huh.
And I've been thinking of just doing that and cutting out all the bother of trying to like get soft trades shipped over here from the West Coast or going and getting them.
Yeah. It could be a long time before there's a volume 3 on the compendium.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just do compendium 1 and 2, then you know 17 is the next trade you need to keep going.
And I'll just get compendium 1 and 2 and I'll read one issue a month out of those. And that'll take me all the way to whenever we get compendium 3.
Well, then you're going to have to be counting pages because there's no real obvious break.
They set up this whole elaborate thing of keeping the Wikipedia for Walking Dead open and like putting duct tape over the spoilers on my screen. And it'd be really fun. Oh. Anyway.
So that's all cool. And then I also got volume 1 of Fables.
Ooh.
Which I have not read yet. I'm going to see about getting caught up on all my dead, and then I'll check out Fables.
I'm going to do the Fables thing after I finish the Telltale game.
Cool. And when I look at how many Fable things there are, like how many volumes, and then all these like spin-offs and stuff, it's like I start really thinking like I shouldn't get myself involved in all of this because there's so much.
That's when I would rely on someone who has read all of it to go like, okay, outside of the main books, what do I need to read and what do I not have to read?
Yeah.
If there's like that much, I just start, you know, collecting opinions. Like what is skippable out of all this?
Yeah, well, I think I'm going to stick to the volume one. I'm going to read volume one. And if I feel like I want to keep going on this, then I'm just going to stick to the main thing.
Yeah.
And just not get involved with spinoffs or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm clicking through my Twitter images because I thought I tweeted something. Like, I thought of something that I know I tweeted. And then as I was looking for it and stay engaged in this conversation, I forgot what I was looking for. Figuring if I see it, then I'll realize, and now I don't see it. Nothing that I'm seeing seems irrelevant.
I like the Telltale game.
Yeah, I still haven't finished the first chapter.
Yeah,
I've been playing other games.
I've been, me and Corinne have been going through it because she was there when I did chapter one. And then I was like, well, this seems to come out so sparsely enough. And she was like, don't play chapter two till I'm here. And at first I was like, but I want to play my game. And then chapter two didn't come out until we were hanging out again. And then I was like, okay, maybe this makes sense. If it comes out this sporadically, we can just, like, I'll hold on to it until we're meeting up and we can play some more Wolf Among Us. But I want to play that before I go into the comics, because Wolf Among Us takes place before the comics.
Yeah.
And one of the very few things I knew about the comics totally wrecked part of the game for me already, because something happened. And they were like, what's going to happen? And I was like, well, I know what's going to happen because I know this part of the... Damn it. So I decided to avoid the comics for the time being.
I don't know. Once I have it in my possession now, I don't know if I want to wait for who knows how long for all the chapters to come out.
Oh, yeah. If I had volume one here, it'd be a different story. But it's been a great way for me to kind of look at the comics on the shelves and go, like, I'm just going to... I haven't bought them yet. So it's easier for me to tell myself not to spend money than to tell myself to open a book that's sitting on a shelf right in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Then do you want to do video games or toys next?
Let's do another toy.
Okay, toys. Toys that I got that are off topic. I got some Captain America stuff. So I talked about Red Skull before.
Mm-hmm.
Then I grabbed Baron Zemo, which is great. It's so good.
I think I'm going to get him.
Yeah, the articulation's really good. Like where Red Skull had a problem with one of his arms not being able to move all the way down, so it's always kind of sticking out a little bit. Zemo's got none of that trouble. I think Zemo's awesome. The only criticism that I have is he just sort of has a loop on his belt to use to function as a holster for his gun.
Yeah.
That doesn't work that great, but that's a pretty minor quibble. Zemo came out really, really good. Then I got a Captain America, which is one of his new costumes for the movie, which is based on his, like, I think it was Director Rogers' costume from the comics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all blue with, like, a silver star and a couple stripes on his shoulder. That comes with a shield, which is kind of all blue and silver. It's like a more subdued color palette. He's not so star-spangled man. But it looks really cool. He comes with two sets of hands, including a pointing finger, which is always great. And a like a flat saluting hand, which is nice. And there's enough articulation in his arm, you could put the pointing finger on and put it up to his lips like he's shushing you. Was that the picture I was looking for? Because I know I tweeted a picture of that.
If you were going to look for any picture, I would have asked for that picture, given what you've described.
Yeah, I know I tweeted a picture of that. Now, I always forget how I can.
I hate the way that Twitter set up the media gallery thing.
It's terrible.
Once upon a time, it was just chronological, and it was a column, one thing per line.
Well, and I wish there was an easier way to get the link for the image. But there it is anyway.
And he just snaps your neck.
And then I had all... Did I mention I had gotten the Black Label Han Solo in the past?
I think you did last time.
Okay. Because I had it with me.
Yeah, you told the story of how you'd pre-ordered one and then saw a whole bunch of them.
Yeah. So I still had it with me when I got the Captain America. Like, I was at my girlfriend's. And so I started swapping heads around. And I put Han Solo's head on Captain America's body, make Captain Solo.
That works. The neck is a little wide, but otherwise that works.
And then I also stuck the Chris Evans head onto the Han Solo body. Suggested that this might be a sneak preview of the new Star Wars movies. To which our friend Brad was very upset that I would suggest such a thing.
Oh, that looks funny.
And then...
I love making Brad upset.
Then to make it even worse, and to continue trolling Brad, I ran a filter over the image to make it all lens flary, so it would be more J.J. Abrams style. And that ends Vangelis and Seth Buzzard look at pictures on an audio podcast.
We're allowed to do this once in a while. We have quotas.
Then I realized that I have two parts of the Mandroid Build-A-Figure. Looking at the figures that make up the next wave that have the rest of the parts, which include Winter Soldier and Black Widow, and thinking, I kind of want those because these have been so good. I needed to get this other Captain America, which is like the Avenger costume, or not Avenger costume. Oh, no, it's the Marvel Now costume.
Okay.
That comes with the head for Mandroid. So I'm like, well, now we just got to get this one so I could get the head, and then I'll get the other movie characters, and then I'll be able to build Mandroid. So it's okay. I mean, the articulation's all right and everything. I'm not that impressed with the Marvel Now Captain America. It's kind of closer to the ultimate Captain America costume, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really see a need to have 616 Captain America look like ultimate Captain America. So I don't know, but I needed the Mandroid part. So whatever.
The Mandroid is the Build-A-Figure that's really tempting me, but I'm not into Captain America enough to want to go through buying like two Captain Americas plus everything else. Like, I'd really just want Baron Zemo and a Mandroid. And
What about Red Skull?
All right, you got me. If I could buy Baron Zemo, Red Skull, two AIM soldiers, and two Hydra soldiers. Is that the other one?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I could do that and get all the Mandroid parts, I'd do it.
If you did that, you would have so many arms.
Could I just trade the arms to people for other Mandroid parts and just assemble my own Mandroid?
Probably not, because they probably also have extra arms.
Damn it! Because, yeah, like, I don't want to buy the figures they want me to buy, but I would buy the number of figures if I could just double up on the troop builders and, you know, have a cool little display with Zemo and the Red Skull, like, you know, shooting at each other.
Uh-huh. Why are they shooting at each other?
I like to imagine that they would not get along. I don't know why. But I've always, whenever I see Baron Zemo and Red Skull, I always think to myself, like, they're just going to get in a fist fight. They look like two guys who could not be in the same on the same team.
Yeah, they both want to be in charge.
Yeah, like I see them as two guys who'd walk in the room, they'd exchange cordial, you know, hellos and shake hands, and after about 5 minutes, they just have their guns drawn, pointed at each other, just screaming.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, and then, like, The Build-A-Figure for the Spider-Man set, like the gigantic, hulking, burning Green Goblin, just, ugh.
Yeah, I got no desire for that. And it sucks because there's, in the Spider-Man side of things, there are more figures I would be interested in collecting if it meant a good Build-A-Figure. But the Build-A-Figure for those just does nothing for me. Because I kind of want to get Carnage, and I'd like to get Superior Spidey, and...
Yeah, I see plenty Superior Spideys around.
Mm-hmm.
I not infrequently see Amazing Spider-Man. And then for the villains, sometimes I see Electro. I think I've seen Firefly once.
I've seen everyone but Carnage at this point.
I wasn't even aware there was a Carnage. Is that from another wave?
No, he's, I think it's Carnage or Firefly. Like, he's one of the swappable
guys? I thought it was two armored guys. I thought it was Firefly or this other guy in armor.
Carnage is swappable with someone, but I guess I don't remember who. But he's another one of those, like... Maybe
it's Electro.
Could be. I'd like to have a good Carnage figure. And I've seen lots of Superior and every now and then Amazing, but, like... Also, over here, like, the price point is, like, I understand that there's more to them than there were for, like, you know, the $15 Legends. But the price point also is just, like, I look at it and I'm like, oh, man, that's just enough to not be an impulse buy.
Yeah.
And I think they look okay, but I don't know if I want to get into this. And so I always end up walking away.
Yeah, I saw I was at Toys R Us a while ago, and they had Spider-Man stuff on sale.
Yeah.
And the only figure they had from that stuff was... They had a couple Superiors, and I almost got one, and I kind of wish I got one, because I don't really want to spend $20.
Yeah.
And
over here at Toys R Us, it's like 26, which is...
Yeah, I think $20 is more what they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then I've seen them, I think Kmart, they're like a buck or two cheaper, and then I think like even Target, well, no... Target was... I was just at Target, and there were 20.
Over here, it's 26-something at Toys R Us and 22-something at Walmart, is what I've seen. And it's just
Maybe it was Toys R Us, where I was looking at Captain America figures, and they were a couple bucks more.
If I saw them on sale for 15 or less, I would at least get the ones I want, like the cherry-pick ones, and I'd just do something with those pieces of the Green Goblin.
Put them in a box and forget about them.
Yeah, like my Terrax legs.
Yeah. Start making your own crazy combiner.
I did it once. I did the Sentinel back in the day. I love that Sentinel. Never did it again.
I ended up with two complete Sentinels.
I've always wanted to buy a second one.
Yeah, I got that entire wave, and then you end up with a couple spare parts. If you had gotten that whole wave, you ended up with, I think, like two extra parts or something.
Mm-hmm.
And or double parts. Then I found the two Chase figures. Like, in store, I found the Chase figures. And then I can't remember if it was five or six parts that made it up. But I was on. But with getting everything, I was only one or two parts away. So then I doubled up on those figures just to finish a second Sentinel. But I did a bunch of those Toy Biz combiners. Like I ended up with MODOK, even though the hand broke off, Galactus, that gigantic, huge Apocalypse.
I almost did the Apocalypse, because I like Apocalypse.
Yeah,
it's the only Build-A-Figure... Big. The only Build-A-Figure I ever got since the Sentinel was at a toy shop that was local. I bought a Ronan who was complete because I had just finished reading Annihilation.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, well, I'll spend $30 on Ronan to not have to bother picking up all the toys that I would need to make Ronan because I just want Ronan.
Oh, and $30 to just get Ronan is way cheaper.
Yeah. No, like I'm more interested in with the Build-A-Figures. Like, it's a cool concept, but it just... It never ends up giving me an assortment of toys I actually want.
Yeah.
The next closest was Ironmonger from those Iron Man toys. Because one of them was Ultron. I thought that was cool, but it was just one Iron Man too many for me. And I was like, I just don't know if I want to go through all this for... Because Ironmonger looks cool, and Ultron looks cool, but...
Well, I think this Captain America set is really good. I mean, really the only one that I feel any sort of grumpy about is the Marvel Now.
Hmm.
But, like, I think the movie design for Winter Soldier is cool. It's pretty accurate to his comic depiction. I mean, there are some differences, but I think Winter Soldier looks cool. Black Widow looks cool.
This, very tempting.
This, like, Agent Rogers, or however, whatever you want to call this costume, because it says Rogers on his shoulder.
Yeah.
So I don't know why there's a mask on his helmet. Like, he put his name right there on his shoulder.
Because the Mandroid looks badass.
Yeah.
And I'm getting tempted, because I also feel like if I get them all, make my Mandroid, I could probably sell the figures that I don't really want pretty easily.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm sure that there are lots of people who would be up for buying them without Mandroid parts. So, yeah, I'm eyeballing all of them. But also at Canadian Toys R Us prices, it's very easy for me to go, like, I'm going to wait until later.
Oh, Ichabod from Pre-Order 66 sent me a box.
Uh-oh.
I almost forgot about this. So I had sent him the Tomorrow Queens. And I got a little silly with his box. Like, I put all these stickers of owls all over the outside of the box to cover the two empty spots in the Tomorrow Queen tray. I printed out a picture of Disney's Ichabod Crane looking all creepy.
Yeah.
You've seen that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, this scrubber that was shaped like an owl that I found for like a dollar. I jammed that in there. So he sends a box back to me, and on one side of the box he had printed out a picture of a cat, like a cat's face.
Yeah.
And he taped that on, and then he taped a banjo on another side. Because my cat is named Banjo. And then he wrote Hoot Hoot on it. Just in case I can, you know, decipher the riddle. He had to give me an extra clue. Ichabod will not grow up to become the Riddler. So inside was just a couple little things. So of an awful knockoff of Kinder Egg. So it was a chocolate egg that was just all dry and gross. I did not eat the chocolate.
Black.
That had a little Spider-Man in it. That was kind of adorable. And a couple Lego minifigs, like movie minifigs that he ended up with doubles of.
Oh, cool.
I just got all this stuff that I didn't want. I threw it in a box and sent it to you. I'm like, okay, that's nice. So
Spider-Man's kind of cute.
Yeah. Big giant head.
Yeah, it's wide.
So the minifigs... So what's the main character guy?
Emmett.
So there's an Emmett and the panda guy.
Panda guy is top tier.
Panda guy is pretty rad.
He's sweating.
Yeah, and my girlfriend was like, oh my god, it's Sexual Harassment Panda from South Park. And it totally is. With his creepy little tongue hanging out. So those were cool. That was just a fun little surprise. And that should be all my toys. Got a couple Vigia games.
I know we've got it sounds like we might have a shared Vigigame thing we could talk about.
So I'll talk about the other one first real quick.
Yeah.
Speaking of South Park.
Oh.
I downloaded South Park and the Stick of Truth via Steam.
I want to buy that. It's kind of expensive, but I want to buy it.
Well, it's a full price retail game.
Yeah.
And you know it will eventually be cheaper, so how long do you want to wait?
I'm going to wait for the first sale.
Now, here has been my advice when people have asked me if they should play South Park in the Stick of Truth. ask yourself this. How much do you like South Park?
I kind of like South Park.
Do you watch every episode of South Park?
Not every episode, no.
Okay, well, if you, listener, watch every episode of South Park, then definitely, yes, you want to play The Stick of Truth. If you enjoy South Park, catch it occasionally, then you should enjoy South Park and The Stick of Truth, but you could probably wait until it's a little cheaper. If you think South Park is dumb, don't play South Park and The Stick of Truth.
That's the impression I got.
This and the more South Park you have watched, the more references you're going to get. Because this thing is loaded with references. There's, like, I've come across references and been like, what is that? Oh, I forgot all about that. Like, there's characters that had only ever been in one episode. There's bits of clothing that only appeared in one episode. You find Kenny's promise ring in a drawer in his bedroom. It's amazing. There's so much good stuff. So I've been playing on that. It's a lot of fun. And it looks like South Park.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it took so long for somebody to try to make a South Park game that wasn't like 3D polygonal graphics and flat like South Park looked.
I watched I watched a whole bunch of the quick look, and when I saw them actually go into the world, I kind of just like stared. And I was like, oh, now I see what this is.
Yeah, it's great. And I got so excited when I found the goth kids. And they won't talk to me because I'm a conformist and I don't look like them. And when I come back with clothes so I look like them, then they'll talk to me. Until then, I'm a conformist. Yeah, it's great. It's so good. The City Walk guy is in there. He needs help because his restaurant's been invaded by Mongolians.
Oh, yeah, I saw that clip in the quick look.
I don't want to say too much more. I don't want to give away all the jokes.
No.
Then the other video game I got Titanfall. Because I needed to do something with my Xbox One.
Have you seen Titanfall?
Have I seen it? I got it. I played it. So good.
I got it too. I've been playing it on the personal computer though.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean, have I seen it?
That's a thing that's been going around.
No, I wasn't aware of that thing.
That's just a thing. Very silly thing.
Okay, well, that's dumb. So, well, I wanted to get it for the Xbox One because I feel like I need to justify owning this damn thing.
Yeah.
And so then it was like, well, am I going to buy the disc or am I just going to download it? And then we were walking through Target and they had a big display. And it was like, buy Titanfall and 12 months of Xbox Live and get $30 off. I went, yeah, all right. Because eventually I'm going to need to renew Xbox Live anyway, so I might as well get a discount. So I got it there on disk. So whatever. So I stuck it in. And then I double-checked. Like, I already tested because there was all that stuff about people getting Xbox Ones that chewed up disks.
Yeah.
So I'd already tested to make sure it was fine.
What was your test subject?
I don't remember what it was the first time. But I wanted to test it again just to be sure. So I looked around and I saw a copy of Jersey Girl. And I went, this will be good enough to test with. So I stuck Jersey Girl in and it started. And I went, all right, that's enough of that movie. I don't need to watch anymore. I bought my copy of Jersey Girl. It's a used copy. I got it from a store that was going out of business. Like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I think I got it for about $2.
That's 200 cents.
Yeah. And I still haven't watched it. I didn't take the shrink wrap off until I needed to stick it in the Xbox One to make sure it wasn't going to chew up a disc. I love Kevin Smith, but
true story. I don't remember a lot of it, but I remember when I watched Jersey Girl expecting something terrible, I ended up kind of enjoying myself, but I also don't remember any of it except for George Carlin.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I like Kevin Smith. It's just that movie's wrapped up in such nonsense. I haven't seen Cop Out yet either.
Oh, and I don't know if I will see that. Yeah. I saw Zach and Mary. That was fun.
Yeah, that was all right. Well, if we're just going to be sidetracked on Smith. So he had made a big deal that he was done with movies.
He's done that a couple times, I think.
Well, he's not done with movies now.
Yeah.
He's got a new idea on what he's going to do. So the way he explains it now is he's not going to make any movies if he thinks that somebody else could do it. So, like, he says anybody could have made Cop Out. He didn't bring anything to Cop Out that nobody else could have brought. And then, like, with Zach and Mary, he said, that was me trying to make a Judd Apatow movie. Because Judd Apatow is already doing that. And he's doing it way better than I could ever do it. So why would I try to make a Judd Apatow? Or why did I think I should try to make a Judd Apatow movie when I'm not going to do as good a job? So, like, when he came up with Tusk, he, like, showed it to people. And when people said, I've never seen anything like this before, then he went, okay, this is a movie that nobody else is making, so I'm going to do this. So, and that's like what Clerks was. Nobody else could have made Clerks. So,
mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of an interesting tact he's taking. He's only going to make what he wants if he thinks nobody else is already going to do it.
I really like he has really good hindsight. There's a lot of times where I often, you know, I read a really good hindsight. I always going to go like, damn, I wish he could, like, just move his hindsight back just a bit more. Because it's always just far removed enough from whatever he's looking back on where I kind of go like, damn, I wish you'd thought of this a long time before now.
So, develop a level of foresight.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like that's kind of what he's doing now. But, like, so, you know, we'll see what Tusk is.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I remember when he did Red State, he was referring to that as, this is my Tarantino-style movie. And it ain't no Tarantino movie. Like, have you seen Red State?
I haven't. I got a report on it from Jacob, who watched it.
And, well, what did Jacob say? Because I have my little capsule review.
I'm trying to remember, because this was a couple months ago. I think Jacob said that... what was it? He was kind of, if I recall correctly, he was kind of digging it until the final half hour when he felt the whole thing fell apart for him, but I don't remember why.
Yeah, my vibe that I got off of it was it didn't really feel like a full, complete movie.
Yeah.
As much as it felt like a bunch of scenes.
Yeah. And that's how I feel about the second J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie.
I haven't seen that yet.
Quite in a capsule. Yeah, that one I literally thought I had somehow fallen asleep and missed the middle of the movie when the movie was over. So I was like, what happened to Act Two? Where did it go?
Yeah. But like Red State, it's like a horror movie. And then it's like a cop drama. And then it's like an action movie. And then it's like this other thing. And then it's like this other thing. And then you think it's going to go this way, and now it's in a courtroom. It just seems like a bunch of stuff, and that none of the characters really seem important enough to be followed all the way through.
Yeah.
But anyway. And I don't like horror, gross stuff. Like, I have zero interest in watching anything like Hostel or Saw. So I'm a little squigged out at my understanding of what Tusk is going to be. But I'm also kind of curious to see how Kevin Smith handles something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, video games.
Yeah.
Titanfall. Somehow we went from Titanfall to Kevin Smith.
I got it on EA Origin, which as a service is kind of like dealing with an Eli Roth horror movie.
Oh no. Did you have to cut your own head off to make it work, or
yep No, it just kind of sucks. It's not nothing really terrible about it. It's just kind of ugly, and it's really intrusive. And it, the dumbest thing about it is, maybe I'm just missing a setting. I didn't change any settings on this, as far as I know. I never even used this, really, until I had an Origin account for some reason. And I don't remember why. Probably from Mass Effect. But
I got... Oh, yeah, because you had to make an Origin account to link the Xbox stuff. And
yeah. Because there's, you know, you can get, you know, invited to a game with an Origin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Problem is that there's no, as far as I saw, there is no sound that goes off when you get invited. And I haven't seen a pop-up when I'm in-game. If I'm sitting on my computer desktop not playing the game, I see a pop-up. But when I'm in-game, I don't see a pop-up, which means unless I know someone's going to invite me while I'm in there, I miss it, which means that we're like, right now, the Twitter group that I'm with who's playing this a lot, we meet up on Skype, and then I'll go meet up in Titanfall, which, I mean, it's superior, I think, to trying to use the in-origin party system anyway, but it's still kind of dumb. But that's Origin. I don't think anyone's going to rush to Origin's defense, so I'm not going to start anything over it. But
well, I still haven't tried playing multiplayer with anybody on the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a lot about how the Xbox One party system stinks, though. So
that's a shame, because once we're all hooked up in Titanfall, it's great, except for the matchmaking. The matchmaking, you go ask Noise Maze about the matchmaking, and he'll tell you some stuff. He's been the one who's been the most pissed, I think, because we form a group of like four people, and for whatever reason, the matchmaking gets more and more confused the more people that are in your party. So we end up we're trying to play like Hardpoint. Suddenly we're matched up against a team of people on Prestige 5. And we're like, why? Because, okay, like, for clarification, none of us are Prestige 5 at all. But yeah, all that aside, how are you liking Titanfall?
I haven't played a whole lot. I think I'm level 4 still. I'm 4 missions into the campaign. I've only played campaign missions. So
You are playing multiplayer, then.
Yeah.
You're...
Right, but I'm sticking to campaign for now. I'm militia.
How are you finding the campaign storytelling mechanics?
Could be better. I wish it was a single player game where they could have pulled the story better. But you know, I don't hate it. It's just a structure for this series of multiplayer matches.
I think it's a fantastic piece of unintentional comedy, the way it comes together.
Yeah.
Because I've played through both campaigns, right?
Uh-huh.
And I still have no frigging idea what happened, or why I should care about any... Because the best description I've heard given for it is, you know how in Call of Duty, right? You're playing as the main character, and you're running out in the battlefield, but there's all these soldiers off in the distance, right? These NPC soldiers.
Yeah.
In this game, we are playing as those soldiers.
Right.
So some really important thing is happening, but it's not our problem. And even though they're yelling it at us, we can't actually pay attention, because if we do, we're going to get shot.
Yeah, like, you guys need to get this fuel so I could do this thing. Or you guys need to cause a diversion while I go do this thing. And it's like,
I want to go do that thing.
Yeah, can... we see a cutscene of the thing or at the end or something.
Oh,
and then it doesn't really seem to matter that much if you're successful or not, because the story continues.
Well, you'll get cutscenes eventually, but they're all going to be in the upper right of your screen. And as the campaign goes on, they get more and more elaborate, and as a result, just more and more distracting. Because while you're playing a multiplayer game, in your peripheral vision, you're going to see a cutscene happening, but you can't watch it, because if you stop to watch what's going on, someone's going to shoot you.
Yeah,
so it's a really interesting idea, but I think, and I'm glad it happened. I'm glad they tried it, but they should not do it again.
This one. And I'm still kind of learning the ropes, so I've got to get. I'm still working my way back into the Call of Duty style of multiplayer, which is what this is closer to, closer than Halo. Like. For shooters, for me, I classify it, is this Call of Duty-like or is this Halo-like? And this is Call of Duty-like, where you're moving faster and everybody is way more fragile.
Yeah.
It's like 2-3 shots, you're done. at the most.
level 4 for sure. Once the nice thing I've found is the more you go on, the more options you get to at least have some extended survivability.
Uh-huh.
And also the more you play it, the more you get used to the parkour system, like the enhanced mobility, the more the game opens up. Because the nice thing about this is it's not as easy to get shot once you get better at being mobile.
Yeah. Well, I did something amazing with wall running, that if I did it on purpose, I would totally be bragging about it, but I am going to put it on Front Street that I did this completely by accident. So I'm on the second floor of this building. I'm peeking out windows, seeing if there's anybody I can pop shots off on. And then I start getting shot from behind. So the indicator is letting me know that I'm getting hit from behind. So I'm like, I just got to run for it. And like I jump, I start sprinting, I jump, I'm holding down the button, I'm running around the walls. And then, like, my wall run runs out, and now I'm just dropping down. But now I've come around far enough to where I'm over the staircase, like, so I fall all the way down to the first floor. And now I'm facing up the staircase from how I landed, and the guy that was shooting at me is near the top of the staircase, sort of, like, going back and forth, like, trying to peek up to see where I went.
Yeah.
He has no idea I'm behind him. And I just gun him down. And I went, okay, if I did that on purpose, amazing. I did it on accident, also amazing, but I could take no credit for this.
So I got a similar thing where I, through sheer blind luck, there's a level where there's a big hangar in the middle of the level that's one of the hard points.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people don't seem to know this, but you can actually go under the floor there, and there's like a little like, you know, circular tunnel under the floor with two points where you can hop out. So I'm standing right under one of the holes where I could hop out, and there's like two enemy titans above me, and there's a guy somewhere ahead that's just gunning people down. So I have the perk that gives me infinite arc grenades. So I just start lobbing arc grenades and lobbing mag launcher grenades with my anti-titan weapon, and I am just decimating the titans, decimating the guy over in the distance. All of this because none of them knew you could go under the floor. So I just had to sit there blind firing explosives in every direction out of the hole in the floor. And eventually I killed everybody, and I was laughing my head off. Because I was like, I should be dead. Someone should be coming up behind me, turning my head sideways right now. But no one is, because they're all up there.
Well, my first game, okay, so I install it, I go in, I play through the tutorial stuff. I'm like, okay, now I know what the buttons are. Go into my first game. My team wins the match. I had the third most kills of everybody playing. I got a kill streak. I got a double kill. I was getting enough kills in my Titan that I got like the core bonus thing. I did really good. And I'm like, okay, this is great. Like, here we go. Next game. I had the second least number of kills. It was one up from the bottom. My team lost, and that's been the case of every game since then. I've always been on the losing team, and I've had, like, not the least kills, but I'm right there at the bottom. And I'm like, ah, I wonder what happened in that first game, because, all right, I just got to sweat this out until I get more used to it and get more into that Call of Duty mode, because I got pretty darn good at Modern Warfare 2 multiplayer.
Well, that's the last Call of Duty game I played, and I definitely, all that energy has moved its way into Titanfall. It's a very good progression.
Yeah, and a lot of that came from learning the maps and like knowing, okay, these are high traffic areas. These are nice little hiding spots where I could like kind of hang in this corner. Someone's probably going to run by. I could gun down like one or two guys and then move to the next spot, because if you stay somewhere too long, they come after you.
Yeah.
And well, especially they stop running around the corner and they start throwing grenades around the corner and you're done.
Like once you learn all the routes through the, or at least more routes through maps in Titanfall because of the enhanced mobility, it's quite key. Like once, especially with hardpoint, once you figure out, okay, what's the quickest way I can get to the central hardpoint so I can get there first and mess up the flow of the other team so they don't get two captures when we only have one. Also, it's good for escape routes and stuff. Like, hey, I want to run away. I know I can run up this building and jump over to that roof and blah, blah, blah. I really like Titanfall. Really enjoying it. I mean, I've been playing... I think I played 3 full evenings of it, so I'm at, like, level 39 or 40 or something.
Yeah.
So I got all this stuff, and I did both campaigns, so I got all my chassis for Titans open, and that's really helpful, too, once you can mess around with more of those. But, starting off, yeah, just play through the campaign. Like, just keep playing it till you've gotten both chassis. You'll have played the campaign twice, once each side. Maybe play it another time, just because that's the easiest way to play the game, we found, because that's not where all the insane prestiging guys are hanging out. They're all hanging out in Classic. So it's kind of a safer place to experiment, too.
Yeah, and on the last Giant Bomb, I think they put it in a pretty interesting way. Like, they discussed all their, what they felt were the shortcomings, like, how the campaign was set up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of say, like, this is a really interesting game that they needed to make to set up for an amazing second game. Like, Titanfall 2 is going to be mind-blowing.
Because if in Titanfall 2 they just make a proper single-player offline campaign mode that's up to scratch, that would be a really solid game, I think.
Yeah.
Because they have a fiction. They want to tell it. It's just that the current way of telling it is terrible. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully there will be.
Yeah, I'll be there if they do. I'm really liking what they did with this one. It's because it also, like, my capsule on it is, it's like everything I liked about Modern Warfare 2 multiplayer, and also a whole lot of the BS taken out of it. Like, I really like just that everything's fast. The respawn is fast. You can do lots without having to spend hours on the game to have, you know, amazing moments. I love that there's no kill streaks. There's just burn cards, which I think really evens the playing field.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, a dude at work asked me what I thought of it. And he goes, so what do you think of that, Titanfall? I'm like, hey, do you like Call of Duty-style multiplayer? He goes, yeah, it's fun. I'm all, do you think the only thing that's been missing from it are giant friggin' robots that drop out of the sky? He's like, what? I'm like, Call of Duty, it's kind of like Call of Duty with giant robots that drop out of the sky. And then you climb in the robot and start just wrecking everything. That sounds pretty rad.
once you start figuring out the Titans, it gets so much better, too. Because it was just the other night, I think, when I finally was actually, like, when I get in a Titan, it wouldn't be dead within a minute and a half.
Like, well, that first game, my first Titan, I was crushing. I, like, took out two other Titans. I was killing dudes all over the place. I was alive for a long stretch, like, long enough to get a kill streak going. And then just every game since then, I can't walk around a corner without dying, either on Titan or on foot.
Yeah. He's got to keep going, and you'll hit that moment again.
Yeah, well, for sure. I mean... Yeah, I know. Like, I know from when I was learning Call of Duty or Modern Warfare 2, to be specific, multiplayer. Like, I knew it was going to be a long stretch of just getting ruined. Mm-hmm. And then either it's going to click or it's not. So I just got to hang out until it clicks.
Yeah. And I'm also really excited to someday hopefully see Titanfall toys that I really want to pick up. Because right now I don't know about what's coming up. Did you see the Titanfall toy stuff they're doing?
No.
So Kinex is doing some, I guess, to compete with the Call of Duty Mega Bloks. I don't know how I feel about those. The Titans look okay, but everything else doesn't. And PlayArt's Kai are doing an Atlas Titan with a pilot. But I don't know how I feel about PlayArt's Kai right now either. So it's like...
Yeah.
It's like two companies whose stuff I don't hate, but I don't have confidence in, got Titanfall.
Yeah, like, there was a time where I would have been, oh, cool, at the PlayArt's Kai thing, but now it's like,
It could go okay, or it could, like, it doesn't have a human face to sculpt, and that's already a big plus, but I don't know.
I will tell.
Yeah.
So I think that's all my stuff.
All right. Well, I got some toys I could talk about briefly here that will make for some varied conversation. I found at a local shop the two new Nika Kaiju from Pacific Rim.
Oh, boy. You're still torturing yourself with that?
So, I want to find Cherno Alpha because apparently that's a legit good figure. And that's going off people who have been trashing Nika. But I got Battle Damage, Knife Head, and I got Trespasser. They both have the same body. Knife Head has they both have the same body, different heads, different backs, and Knife Head has this big lump to make his neck beefier. So I came into this one because this is a big figure to make peace and to give some mea culpa to how tiny Knife Head was in Wave 1. So I came into these kind of skeptical because I looked at reviews and as usual, a lot of the reviews I read said, amazing, best kaiju, so many points of articulation, while showcasing that the articulation was all highly limited because of the sculpt. So of the two, Knife Head, worst of the two. The big neck thing like means his neck joint is pretty much non-existent. And the battle damage blood looks a lot better in person. It looks a million times better than in this photo I shared with you because it is not bright Smurf blue. But it also just kind of takes away from the whole thing. And Trespasser is just a better toy because his head is a lot less restricted so he can actually look around. But here's the big thing I found with these. The articulation, while somewhat limited, was not as limited as I thought and was kind of decent. The elbows still kind of suck. But the shoulders are great. The waist is pretty good. The shoulders on the little arms, pretty good. The hips, not as bad as I thought they were going to be. The legs overall were better than I was expecting. They were, like, serviceable. So the new kaiju body they made is a step in the right direction. And I found myself saying that all the critiques I have about it now are critiques I might have leveled on some of the bulkier Monster Arts toys. Because it's a case of this is the design and there's not enough room to cut room for some of these joints to have more movement because it's a big bulky monster thing. Mm-hmm. I think the elbows could have been done better, but it's riding a line that is a better reason than the reasons for the original Knife Head or for Leatherback's limitations. I think Leatherback is the most overrated Nika Pacific Rim toy. There are so many reviews praising that thing through the moon, and I cannot agree with that whatsoever. Like, these guys have bicep swivels, for instance. They are already categorically superior to Leatherback. So I was, you know, pleasantly surprised by these. I really want to get a hold of Cherno Alpha, because that sounds like a very good experience. So, there's been a good, like, these guys and Cherno Alpha and Coyote Tango are the ones that are from the ground up designed without the Walmart story riding on their backs. So it's a good step forward, considering that they're also like $25 toys. Decent step forward. It's all right. It's up to a better par. So I would not call them perfect action figures, but I would say that they are decent. I was worried that it wouldn't be any good, but I really wanted to know, and it was a pleasant surprise. But going on to just categorically better toys, I got a hold of another Acid Rain toy. Now, this is also like five times as expensive, so there you go. But I got the Speeder Mark II. Uh-huh. So this is the G.I. Joe scaled like speeder buggy vehicle that comes with a little driver figure, and it turns into like an exosuit with machine gun hands. The little driver figure is really cool. He's G.I. Joe scaled and quite poseable, and actually has like decent ratchets in his knees and elbows. The vest is rubber and can be removed to give him like a more free ab crunch. The gas mask looks kind of cool. And much like a Cobra Viper, he comes with an orange helmet with goggles on it that go over top of the goggles of his gas mask.
Yeah.
So he's properly double goggles-ing it.
Now, I saw there's a two-pack of soldiers.
I believe they are just two of this guy, but with actual weapons.
Yeah.
And this is a very good little figure. Like, if you've got that pre-ordered, I think you're going to enjoy it.
Well, I thought about it, but I was looking at the price on everything. I think the Acid Rain stuff looks amazing. Mm-hmm. I just don't think I should get involved at this time.
Yeah. Hopefully the soldiers will be kept in circulation, because it sounds like they're releasing a single. They're doing the two-pack with the flag and the statue. They want to do a female soldier eventually and, like, a commander. If they all have the same base articulation as this driver figure, it's going to be a great line, and ideally it'll be kicking around enough for anyone to jump on. Because I think, like, the best value proposition are these little soldiers, because they're like a G.I. Joe Plus for a G.I. Joe Plus price point.
Yeah.
And it's very well done. The speeder is also really cool. It's got a fun transformation, a lot of ratchet joints, some cool hidden features, like the big shoulder blocks are actually briefcases that slide out. And then they give you this, like, printable, I think you can see it in the link I gave you, this sheet of, like, newspapers and envelopes and, like, letters and photos you can cut out in papercraft to, like, create stuff to put into the briefcases.
Uh-huh.
So it's a very cool toy. My only real bummer to drop on it is I'm just not really into the desert color scheme all that much. Yellows and tans. It's not really my thing. But
I like it.
Yeah, like it is a good desert color scheme. I like the city one a bit more, but you know, I'm not opposed to this. And like ignoring the color scheme, very well done toys. And I'm really glad Acid Rain has some North American representation now. It's a worthwhile toy line from what I've seen. The last thing I'm going to talk about is, so this is going back to Pacific Rim for a second, and actually to Titanfall. This comes from a company called Sentinel, this year I've really been turned on to this company, because I got this Black Getter toy a couple weeks ago, which was amazing. But from their Ryobot line, I got the Blodia. This is the kind of the Ryu character from the Cyberbots fighting game that Capcom did many years ago. And I don't know nothing about Cyberbots. I have no attachment to Cyberbots. All I remember is I played it once in an arcade, and I thought it was cool because there were robots in it. But I got this Blodia. And I gotta tell you, this Blodia is, like, one of the nicest robot action figures I have ever held. Like, it's beautiful. The thing uses a mixture of plastic and diecast. A lot of the diecast is in the armor parts and the main hard points, like the feet and the chest. But the thing that I think makes this thing truly beautiful is the way it's engineered. Like, all the joints are engineered in very unique ways, which is something that could be said for stuff like the Ryobot Gurren Lagann that a lot of us got last year or the year before. I can't remember now which year it came out. But this thing takes it to another level because there's all this crazy engineering for the joints, but the user side play experience is unchanged. So if you want to, like, lift his leg and bend his knee, you just lift the leg up and bend the knee. While I'm doing that, like, all the skirt pieces are just getting out of the way, and, like, the multi-part, like, slide compression sequence in the knee is all happening, but I don't have to worry about any of the finicky bits. And that's where I think the Blodia is, like, a really, like, next level kind of figure, because it's a lot like with it's something I said about a lot of Transformers, like animated, where they're really well engineered, but the complications are not on the user end, they're on the design end. So as a user, all you have to do is fold this thing, but it's cut so precisely on these very precise angles that a really intricate thing is happening. It's just that we don't have to do all the movements ourselves. And with this guy, it's just like he's loaded with joints, but he like works with you when you're trying to pose him. So you just kind of go like, I want to move the arm here and bend the elbow and twist him and blah, blah, blah. You don't have to worry about joints banging together or anything. It all just kind of works with you. And then when you want to have him stand again, you just straighten everything out. And it all works with you when you're straightening stuff out as well. Like the engineering on this thing is remarkable. And considering that I have like literally no attachment to the Blodia, all of my love for this figure comes from just the toy, and I'm super impressed. The last thing that I really want to mention is that he's got, like, fists, like, sculpted fists, and then the alternate hands have posable fingers. And the funny thing is that the alternate hands with posable fingers, they have, like, a cut in the palm for his fingertips, so you can curl the posable hand up into a fist that looks exactly like, except for the thumb, it looks almost exactly like the sculpted fist. So the sculpted fists are just there for the super anal retentive people who need a perfect fist on their toy. Mm-hmm. Whereas you can just have like this three-fingered hand that does whatever you want otherwise. It's such a nice figure. And apparently, it's still available. It's been out since like late last year, and it's like still available everywhere. And there's like three different color versions of the normal Blodia. And then, along with the normal red Blodia, I got the variant called the Blodia Riot. And both of its color schemes are still kicking around as well. The Blodia Riot is a lot more of a finicky toy and a lot more of, like, an on-the-shelf toy. But this is a variant of the Blodia that has, like, a gigantic left arm and then, like, thrusters instead of legs. The gigantic left arm you can actually swap onto a normal Blodia because it uses the same kind of hardpoint connection at the shoulder. So you can just, like, pull it out of the joint and stick it onto the normal Blodia with legs. But the Blodia Riot has, like, a whole lot more, like, ratchet joints in its midriff, so you can have him, like, you know, rotate around at his waist and, like, lean back and forward and left and right. And then he's got this thruster array where, like, all the thrusters move, the inner thrusters can move separately, and he's got, like, these four unfolding little spider legs in the bottom center of the toy that are an original Sentinel design designed to let him stand with his thrusters pointed out without using, like, a flight stand. So the Blodia Riot is a much more finicky toy. It's not nearly as intuitive as the normal Blodia, but the normal Blodia is just beautiful. Like, it's legit, high-end, well-done toy, but made for play. And I'm just so impressed with it, because the other Riobot and Sentinel stuff I've got is really impressive, but feels like I gotta kind of treat it with kid gloves. The Blodia feels like I could just, like, you know, just pull this thing off the shelf and just start posing them, and I don't have to worry about anything falling apart. So, I just wish it was from a property I cared about more, because then I would be... I'm already kind of yelling at the mountaintop about how good this toy is, but if it was also from a property I like, the way that the Blodia is done, to me, is exactly how I want a Pacific Rim toy to be done. Uh-huh. And is borderline how I'd love to see a Titanfall toy be done, with, like, a little opening cockpit in the chest. But, like, if Sentinel could get the Pacific Rim license and just do the Jaegers like they did the Blodia, it would be the perfect Pacific Rim toy line. And unfortunately, I don't think it's ever going to happen. Because Play Imaginative got the Pacific Rim license, and I'm not excited about that anymore. Anyway, I really like the Blodia, and I wanted to give it its due on here. Seth, did you ever play Cyberbots? Because I didn't.
The screen... that were in that link look a little familiar. I might have played it once, like yourself.
Yeah.
So I'm not especially familiar with it, no.
Yeah, like, I'm messing with this guy, and I'm just like, he does this neat stuff. Like, his arm with the spikes on it, you know, you can, like, it can extend, like, he's doing, like, a hydraulic punch thing, and the spike sticks out more, and it's neat. I don't know why he does it, I'm guessing, to punch other robots. Well, but...
that seems like a good guess.
Yeah. It's just such a good toy. Like, I'm amazed. Because usually, like, I can really get into a toy, but if I'm not into the non-toy end, like, if I'm not into the source material all that much, there's kind of, like, a ceiling. But this is, like, really pushing the limits on that ceiling. It's just so well done. I hope that their other stuff they've done since the Blodia is this good, because I'm really, like, the Jehudi and the Detonator Orgun. Like, I'm really starting to look at those a lot more than I was in past. And I'm super wanting to follow Sentinel this year. Like, they are becoming a toy company that I'm starting to like over a whole lot of other ones. So, getting the word out.
Cool.
Anyway, that is our podcast for this week. That's episode 295. Thank you all for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. I'm probably, you're hearing the sounds of me before I go to bed. It's true. I'm going to go and edit some video tomorrow at work. So, stay tuned. We'll be back next week with more Transformers stuff and other stuff. In 2 weeks, Seth may well have by then combined the Fans Project Menasor. Maybe.
We'll see.
Maybe.
No promises.
Yeah. But we might have more Titanfall stories too. Who knows?
No promises.
No promises. But it's hypothetical. But until then.
Recently, I've wondered, how did I used to play so many video games?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I don't know how I had time before. My life doesn't seem that different. I mean, there is a significantly different aspect to my life now that I have my girlfriend. But, like, during the week, I used to play lots of video games. Now it's like I go to work, I get home, I eat something, and then I crash. No, man, getting old is no fun.
He's got a... I was listening to the Steve Austin podcast, and he just keeps going on about how you should take testosterone supplements. So maybe you just need to get some of those.
I've seen the commercials for testosterone supplements. They sound incredibly dangerous.
But no, a pro wrestler saying it's fine. So...
Have you seen those ads?
No.
Oh, man. You got to Google yourself up some testosterone supplement ads. Because, like, the warnings... It's like, if you are a child or a woman and you come within 100 yards of this stuff, you're probably going to die.
Your skin will just catch fire.
Yeah, it's like, you can't... Like, with some of these, after you apply it to yourself, you can't touch anybody. It's... Yeah, this stuff is crazy.
What are you going to... You smear some testosterone on your hand, reach out, touch a child's face, and their head explodes.
Well, or a beard sprouts.
I'm imagining the world's strangest supervillain now.
No. Before you go to bed, just go to YouTube. And then, like, they abbreviate it to low T. If you're suffering from low T, it's like, stop making up crap. You guys are making up crap again. It's like, we were experimenting with some drugs, and it kind of made this thing okay that nobody really suffers from, but we're going to make it sound like it's this great tragedy that people have to suffer through this thing, so we could sell you this drug that might make you commit suicide if you take it.
I just can't get over the idea of this guy who just smears testosterone supplement on his hand, just walks around touching women and children and making them explode. Yeah.
Now, some of these drug commercials, though, it's nuts. It's like, okay, whatever this thing is supposed to cure can't possibly be as bad as some of these side effects that you might end up with. Like, some of them are like, if you're taking this drug and then you start having suicidal thoughts, consult your doctor immediately. It's like, what?
I like the idea that someone had to go in a booth and record that with a straight face.
Yeah. It's like, okay, here's this minor thing you're dealing with physically. You can take this drug that will alleviate that minor thing, but you might end up jumping off a bridge.
But your knee will no longer be sore either way.
The voice of Scarlet is named BJ.
Yeah.
All right.
And Michael Dobson, the voice of Cobra Commander.
The quotes around Cobra Commander have never been more meaningful. Not my Cobra Commander. So when we go to ambush Morgan and Michael, we'll have special Not My Cobra Commander t-shirts printed up with that guy's face crossed out.
Like, no, we want to talk to Michael McConaughey. Not Michael Dobson, the one Michael. And Michael Bell's in the background. He's like, you're all assholes. And just like walks off.
Like, shut up, Bell. If I wanted to hear from a Bell, I'd go to England. Big Ben. That's a real Bell.
Michael's already Bell. Halfway across the dealer room. Just reaches over, swats a bunch of toys off a table.
All right, I'll be right back.
All right.